We're just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing that you took that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Yeah,
something
absolutely,
true
because I can't
something
prove
either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Good evening, citizens of Netlandia. Welcome to our Really Radio Show 96 with no religion required.
Been a long time.
Yes.
Who are these people?
Today's date is Friday, February 12th, 2016. This is O'Really Radio, where we dismantle the current events for your edutainment through mostly rational conversations that make you go, oh, really? Hence the name of the show, oh, really? I'm your host, Andy Cowan. I've got Fred Sims. I've got Spicy Meat Paste. I mean, David O'Connor. And
hey.
I've got Michael Robinson. And, of course, I have the at least the original two plus one, and not including number four for no religion required. We've got Bobby C, Miss Ashley, and the Prophet Jeremiah.
Man, that is just a bad algebra problem. Why are you giving me that crap? Friday night, I'm not drunk yet.
Beware.
Number four was scared to come on. That's why number four didn't show up.
Well, yeah, but that's because she's from like a crappy football school.
Yeah,
Alabama or something.
Yeah, Alabama.
Oh. Jeremiah is Oxford, Mississippi.
Something
yeah,
along
same
those
thing.
Lines. I don't really know what's going on.
They're
going
to take that border away and just make it one glob of crap.
Yeah, I don't know the difference between Alabama and Mississippi. To me, it's
because
all
there
the same
isn't
thing.
One.
Yeah.
If think about it, if you take Mississippi and you just flip it over on top of Alabama, it fits perfectly.
So, Bobby, how you doing?
So there's spoon.
I'm doing well, buddy. I'm just sitting back listening to the conversation.
You know, from one host to another, you know, this happens all the time, right?
I bet
if Alabama and Mississippi got all their teeth together, they could beat Georgia. That's all I'm saying.
Oh. Barely.
Okay.
Barely. But make sure Morgan listens.
So, just a little house cleaning here. I did not see any reviews. If you like the show, please go out to wherever you found us and leave us a nice review. That'd be even better. And then let me know about it, because sometimes, well, I never find out.
Sometimes
where do they find you at?
I gotta go look. Where can you find you at?
Well, we know for a fact that they can find you at oreallyradio.com.
If you are listening to the sound of my voice, you've already found me.
You can also
just follow the sultry sound of his voice.
Therefore, go back to wherever you actually did find me. And leave me a review.
Save it to your favorite
right now on air.
That'd be the thing to do. Yeah,
that can get you a free logical fallacy poster because reviews, emails, donations all go towards me giving people logical fallacy posters.
Well, I guess I need.
I want a logical fallacy poster.
You
better send me an email, and it better be good.
Yeah, you have to send them an email of how great they are, and nude pics help.
Or
I'm more of a logical phallus, but, you know.
You send me a picture of your logical phallus, and you got a poster.
I thought you were a smart ass, not a smart dick. Just, yeah, check it out.
Smart ass is Ashley.
He's definitely a straight-up guy. Oh.
I see what you did there. I do. I see what you did there.
I'm trying not to be amused by that.
Too easy.
It's not working, but I'm trying.
Well, it's really hard. I understand.
That's what she said.
Now, Daniel Andrew Duncan from the Duncan from the Kentucky Fried Freethought podcast. He actually went out to our Reddit and left us some stories. Headlines: Man dies during Krispy Kreme challenge in North Carolina. Well, that's fun. Beyonce references Black Panther Party at the Super Bowl halftime show, and cotton candy-like clouds fall from the sky.
Where was I?
I'm about to get super fat.
Go on.
It's like, that's an interesting one. So, yeah, yes, you can vote on stories, vote them up and down, and add stories to our lineup right there at... Are you not hearing?
In
yes,
one
we
ear.
Hear you fine. Yeah.
You're only hearing in one ear.
The thing I want to know is where do I go to be a part of the Krispy Kreme challenge?
The Krispy Kreme challenge.
Yes. What is?
I accept that challenge.
You like that challenge?
Yeah. And how many did he eat before he died? Because I'm pretty sure that's a pussy move. I could probably take what he got.
And trust me.
Okay. Obviously, you're interested in this. Okay, so.
Yeah, because I love the hell out of some Krispy Kreme.
A runner died after starting the Krispy Kreme challenge in Raleigh.
That's the problem. Healthy people don't eat Krispy Kreme.
That's true. He obviously was not in training.
That's a rookie mistake right there.
Yeah, he was not well trained for
he
this.
He got two in. Oh, my healthy. Yeah.
It raised his blood sugar so high that he had a heart attack and died because he's probably a vegan.
Apparently, this is a North Carolina State University tradition in which thousands come for a 5-mile race and then a donut feast to help raise money for local children's hospital.
Figures, North Carolina.
That's the only way you'll ever get me to run 5 miles.
Right? Hell yeah.
The only way you'll get me to run 5 miles is if something's chasing me.
Yeah, so
5 miles ain't that bad.
A giant donut.
Wow. This is interesting. We're not even going to give this any more airtime, the poor guy. He died from eating donuts.
He was not prepared.
Was this local news for you, Andy? Because I know you're from Florida and crazy shit goes on.
No. Down here in Florida, we had somebody throw an alligator through a drive-thru window at a Wendy's.
Honestly, this is tame compared to the adventure.
Are you kidding me?
No.
No, that's not that.
Florida,
bad.
Man.
Charged with assault with a deadly weapon.
I lived in Tallahassee
no joke.
For years. I'm honestly not surprised.
No
honestly.
Joke.
How in the hell can they talk shit about Georgia? At least we're not throwing alligators through drive-through windows.
That's only because you don't have alligators.
This is not everyday things. There is this one mystical creature called Florida Man who is responsible for all of this.
All of it.
Yeah, just type in Florida Man on Twitter. Good stuff. Good stuff. Endless amusement.
There's a Florida Man Reddit as well.
Oh, yeah. It's a thing. It's a thing we have down here.
You would think Florida Man would learn his lesson about alligators when the last Florida Man got eaten by an alligator running from the cops.
That's true. He hid.
Florida Man was particularly bright.
Florida Man hid in a retention pond and was eaten. Too bad. So sad.
Hide and seek champion.
Yeah. And now, other things in Florida, since we're in Florida, apparently one of our lovely legislators is attempting to ban abortion in order to save white culture.
Is that the justification?
Well, that's the headline here.
That is in fact the justification.
A religious zealot by the name of Greg Pound addressed the Justice Subcommittee in January 26, where he explained that his real concern was not about the welfare of fetuses, but a paranoid fear of changing demographics and the collapse of white culture, threatened by the idea that the socioeconomic primacy of the white Christian male might be near an end, and with it, the political base of the Republican Party.
He's afraid of becoming a minority. I mean, why would you be afraid of that? What, are minorities treated badly in this country?
Yeah, I have
exactly
no idea
where I was going to go.
But I'm bummed.
Wait a
and technically, if you compare us to white women, we're already the minority.
So they want other ethnic groups, other colors, it's okay for them to have abortions because we're overpopulated with them. But
yeah, I think that's the gist.
Precisely.
Yeah.
You just hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Well, they are outpacing white people in reproducing.
And they vote Democrat.
That's one of the historical – actually, anti-abortion arguments used to be a progressive cause for that reason. There's a history behind that if you look into that. And now it's entirely flipped, which I laugh my white ass off, to be honest.
They have stories about how
abortion, you know, lowered the crime rate and all of those particular things and, you know, all of the benefits that it's provided for, you know, rape victims and whatnot. But, hey, let's keep the white race going.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, because what could possibly go wrong? So that was all before we even get to.
If they want us to breed more, they just need a eugenics program. That's just, you know.
Slow down, Hitler.
Chase here.
Wow, really? Yeah. Really? Going straight to eugenics. Okay, that's nice.
Let's cut right to the chase
now,
here.
Well, let's cut to the other chase.
Liberty until a minority shows up.
Today,
let's cut Reich to the chase here? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I can't believe you went there. Okay.
See, that was a tasteful, you know, eugenics joke, so, you know.
A tasteful eugenics joke.
Tasteful eugenics joke.
I just said it.
I want that audio pulled because I just made the only tasteful eugenics joke that's ever existed.
I think that's subjective. I really do.
I don't care what everyone else says. Jeremiah said that was tasteful.
I don't necessarily believe that.
I was just going to say, y'all got to explain to me what the hell eugenics is.
Ooh,
eugenics is the process of selective breeding to produce a superior race in humans. It also has been expanded to include genetic modification now that we're capable of that. But basically breeding superhumans, according to someone's definition of superhumans. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing that was pioneered by – I mean it's been used a lot, but it's in the modern zeitgeist. It was basically pioneered by the Nazis because of their whole thing about the Aryan master race.
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
I think China took it and ran with it, too, for their gymnasts.
So yeah. It's like real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely sure. Real.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
That's a deep, dark rabbit hole.
The world is a hell of a place.
It looks back at you when you look down.
The world is a hell of a place.
A little bubble.
Oh, well, you know, sorry.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But we're probably going to pop it. That's probably what's going to happen. So.
Oh, yeah.
So on this day in history, we'll just do that real quick, and then we'll get to you guys' show because I know that Ashley and Bobby they gotta get out, skedaddle. On this day in history, in 1809, two famous, wonderful people—well, I suppose wonderful people, at least they were famous—were born: Abraham Lincoln and Charles Darwin.
Hey,
both born on the same day in the same year, 1809.
Yeah, today's
Happy birthday.
Darwin Day.
Yep.
Bang-a-rang.
And Garnet. Preaches to House on Slavery and Civil War in 1865. The Reverend Dr. Henry Highland Garnet, former slave and first African-American to address the U.S. House of Representatives. Release of the U.S. POWs from Vietnam began in 1973 on today. President Clinton acquitted on both articles of impeachment, perjury, and obstruction of justice in good old 1999. And General Motors records record loss, offers to buy out all 74,000 U.S. hourly workers.
Yeah, basically every one retirement. Of their employees in the U.S. that was hourly, they offered to buy them out because they lost $3.7 billion.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
So they lost money, but they're willing to spend money to buy people out.
Sometimes you gotta spend money to save money to make money.
Spend money to lose money? Wait, that's not how that works.
I don't know. Wall Street, it does.
It sure is there.
I'm broken,
but I need to go buy something.
So
that was in 2008.
Yeah, this is. I was gonna say that's not recent. That's history, honey.
Yeah, this
but
is.
Still,
this is all history.
I mean, I'm broke as hell. I gotta go buy something.
That's the story of. Story of Republican politics.
But I'm sorry, Ashley, you're not too big to fail.
No,
you have to become a giant corporate behemoth in order to be bailed out by the government.
We need to sit down.
Oh.
I don't
need to fail.
Well, no, it can't be a fat joke because I said she wasn't.
Okay. See,
you just won brownie. You just won brownie points with me.
See, I turned it into a fat joke.
He
so
just
sorry
you tried.
He just wants brownies.
It ended up
now we've turned it into a fat joke.
Well, no. He wants brownies because he lives in Colorado.
You better go do some Krispy Kreme challenges before
well,
you
I mean,
get,
who doesn't
get
want
bailed
brownies?
Out, bought out.
I want Colorado brownies.
Exactly.
It's a Schrodinger's fat joke. It wasn't a fat joke until I made it a fat joke by bringing it up.
Nice.
It's not a fat joke until you look at it.
That's right, yeah. Well, it was the observation. That actually made it so. Okay. We could just collapse the wave function. I don't understand. Okay. All right. So, yay, science jokes.
I read a book about that. I understand.
good. Okay. Let's hold our horses and let's talk about No Religion Required, the podcast, with these guys.
Time out.
These guys and girls. These guys and girls.
There's more than just guys on the show.
Y'all. Let's talk about y'all.
Oh, that sounds better.
These guys, that female, and the other female that's too
y'all.
Scared to come
this
on.
This is more like y'all. The two utes and use guys, you know.
What's a ute?
Exactly.
What's
okay.
a ute?
All right. So, it's been a little over a year since we talked last, and at that time, it was just Bobby and Ashley.
Yeah.
So now, tell us, what has happened? I mean, a lot's happened.
Bobby got bored with me, so he brought on Jeremiah.
Yeah. Now I just harass both of them, so that's my job.
Well, how did you become part of the show?
Would you like to tell that story, Jeremiah?
Do you want to tell it, or you want me to tell it, Jeremiah?
No. See, basically, I was like, hey, I'm just going to piggyback on you guys and join you for Atheist Bible Study.
That is not what happened.
Right. Apparently, I need to tell it.
Yeah, let's be accurate, please.
Yeah, I will give you the actual account of how it happened. In the early days, we had did a challenge where we were headed to
Apostacon
in Pittsburgh last year. And there was a time when Ashley had agreed to be leashed.
Oh, the leashing. Right.
Well, if you remember that was a long time ago. Well, it came down to where we said that we would take a video and show everyone. But the more she and I sat down and talked about it, and it's like, well, if it goes on the internet, it's there forever. And do we really want your grandchildren to run across this, you know, later on in life, see their grandmother with a leash around her neck?
I would have been in full support of that, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well.
Well, I got that. There were some things.
But there were some things going on then that we didn't want to get involved into a court deal and all that. So I said on air that I would find a way to repay those people that became patrons just for that very reason. And we got an email from this guy called Jeremiah from Colorado. And said, hey, I have an idea. Instead of just worrying about paying us back, why don't you bring us on for like one segment of Atheist Bible Study, those who want to come on, and you could just have us on the show, and that'll be considered our payback. And I thought it was a great idea. I reached out to Jeremiah and said, hey, that's actually pretty damn cool. Let's do that. So we brought Jeremiah on for Atheist Bible Study. I think it's around episode 20, 21, somewhere in there. And hung out with us that night, and we clicked. I mean, it's weird how two Southern bumpkins and,
clicked with a hardcore hippie.
Clicked with a hardcore hippie millennial. You know, I mean, I have children his age, but it wound up being a great team, and it got to the point to where we looked forward to talking to Jeremiah once a week for Atheist Bible Study, and then finally we said, hey, we'd love to have you as an actual member of the show, and he has been a great part of No Religion Required. As a matter of fact, it wouldn't be No Religion Required without him. He's become a very important part of the show.
See, this is how he says it live, but you should hear him behind the scenes.
Oh, man, he cusses him out left and right.
I do. Sorry, piece of shit.
I just want to commend Jeremiah for blackmailing his way onto the show. Like, hey, I
he did a good job.
It's impressive.
No. See, I had an idea. I was like, let your patrons on, but he never did that again until, like, this year.
Yeah, he only mentioned you. Like, yeah, we're going to have everybody that donated on, and then we just had Jeremiah, and then we decided to keep him, so fuck everybody else.
It sounds more like he came up with the idea, so everyone else needs to come up with their own idea to get paid back.
In all sense, I reached out to everyone. I sent out a lot of emails to everyone going, hey, this is a great idea. If you'd like to be on the show, email me back or get in contact with me. Jeremiah was the only one that answered the call.
Oh.
You know, so he can say all that, but the truth of the matter is I reached out to a lot of people.
And I just want to say, since he's gotten on the show, he's become like a podcast whore.
Yeah, he's become quite a bitch. Yeah. I mean, podcast whore.
But I also want to point out, Jeremiah, that he said you're the only one that got back, so you easily could have been replaced had anyone else said anything.
You are expendable.
That's kind of messed up.
I have been a whore. I've been on, like, Unbuckling the Bible Belt and O'Reilly Video. Like, just such a fucking slut. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, this is your first time here, but it doesn't have to be your last.
I'm glad make you a slut. That's awesome.
We're not going to hold it against you. If you want to be a slut, be a slut.
I'm going to catch an audio STD and I'll get hearing aids because of this. So
it's funny because we would like go out of town or something like and take the weekend off, and or before we even went live, we'd take weeks off or whatever.
Right.
And we were like, okay, everybody gets a break, and then we get back from vacation and we find out that Jeremiah's been on 3 or 4 different shows talking shit about it.
He's merely just spreading the word.
Right. Look, Jeremiah is loved so much on the show called Promoting Secular Feminism. You listen to every episode and they mention the prophet Jeremiah. Oh, yeah. They love them some prophet Jeremiah.
All it takes is a millennial white boy who is okay with feminism. And that's, you know. Yeah. So, you know, that's how I pick up chicks. I just say I'm a feminist, and then they're like,
entire show?
That's how you pick up the Canadian girl.
How is that working for you, by the way,
Who
brother?
Wants to pick up a Canadian girl?
Jeremiah does.
Don't you just say sorry?
No, that's on the second date.
Oh,
sorry about that.
So the first date, you're assuming that she might be a moose.
Or a raccoon.
Yeah. Well, since being on your show, we have added Jeremiah and we've gone live. And live has been a lot of fun.
How did you go live? Didn't you join a whole network? Actually, you join two networks?
Well, while we were recording, we were part of the Dumbass Media. And David Smalley from Dogma Debate and his crew reached out and allowed
us. Bobby's a major fanboy.
He is.
And offered us to join the Secular Media Network along with Dogma Debate, The Gaytheist Manifesto, Phil Ferguson Show, Secular Sexuality, and all these great shows that are part of this network. And
Paleo Radio.
Yeah. And they've just recently added Paleo Radio. And it was an opportunity that I could not pass up, you know, to become involved with all these wonderful people within the secular community. And we didn't have to go live because when we joined the Secular Media Network, we were still a pre-recorded show. Me sitting down for hours on top of hours recording.
He got tired of working, so he decided to go live.
So
that's a lot of work.
I got tired of spending my entire weekend sitting in my recliner editing. I mean, my days off was spent with a computer on my lap.
Instead of me.
Exactly.
That's important.
Yeah.
I priority.
Can't deny that. Yeah.
Priority.
And I've always wanted to do a live show. So I put out on air.
You put out on air.
What show is that?
There's a drop.
That's No Religion Required explicit.
I was going to say, I haven't gotten to that backlog yet. Which one is that? Because 20 is Jeremiah, and then where are we at for the...
I'd say really he puts out every week on air.
I'd say he gets put out every week, but I don't know that he puts out every week.
You know me too well. So I announced on the damn show... You have to be careful what you say around these folks.
Oh, yeah.
That if we reached a certain level on our Patreon account, that we would go live. And the reason for that level was because that's about how much it cost us in order to, you know, get everything we needed to go live, get everything in line and everything like that. And it took a while for us to reach that level to where we went live. But as promised, once our patron reached that level, we indeed went live. And the very first live show crashed on us. We had radio silence for about 20 minutes.
Can I tell them what happened?
On this show, that's called par for the course.
That happens. Yeah. Yeah.
That was our very first
had some growing pains.
Bobby hit the wrong mute button.
Oh, you literally just muted the audio to everyone else.
The whole show.
Oh.
Sad.
Good job, buddy.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
Ashley so enjoys that.
I do.
So
seeing as how she spends half the show's not talking.
Catastrophe. But
you could call it a monstrosity.
Oh, that's my. Oh, I love that word.
Kiss my ass.
My lips don't reach to Georgia, sir.
See, if you don't listen to the show, you'll know that Bobby leaves out and inserts certain letters into various words.
Hey, Bobby, in all fairness, monstrosity is a good word, sir.
I like it. I don't give a shit what anybody else thinks.
What is the word supposed to be?
It's supposed to be monstrosity.
Oh, monstrosity.
Monstrosity. But I say monstrosity.
Oh, kind of like y'all with an apostrophe between the A and the L.
So I take the S out, and everybody gets their panties in a wad because I remove a letter. Like, come on.
It's just artistic license. It's okay.
You removed a letter with a panel as large as the one we have right now.
Man, you can't go making words. Next thing you know, we're going to have dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria.
If you are that damn sensitive, turn the show off.
No. If you're that damn sensitive.
Our next Teespring campaign is this is a monstrosity.
If you're that damn sensitive about it, yes, you need to make a t-shirt.
I'm
you need to wear it.
And I need a trigger warning or a safe space or something.
If you guys make a monstrosity shirt, I'll buy it.
Hey, there you got one.
This is a monstrosity.
At least one guaranteed set.
It'll be a bespoke shirt, just for you.
More than one for Teespring to print. But
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I could promise you that I'd buy one. I've already got an atheist analysis shirt, and getting one with a made up word on it might kill my family.
You got that atheist analysis shirt free.
You did.
Yeah.
And I don't think that show's not even on anymore.
No.
I'm just saying, having just the fact that it is in my possession, just. You know, is causing heart palpitations in my ultra Christian family.
Michael, how in the hell did you not go get the family shirt?
He probably didn't know about it because I don't think he listens to any podcast, including the one he's on.
No,
I don't listen.
Listen to us sometimes.
Sometimes.
No, but if he's on Facebook at all, it's been all over Facebook.
I don't know.
I miss things a lot.
Which shirt?
You missed it anyway. We did our most recent t-shirt.
Good.
We took the word family and we put the atheist A into the word family.
Oh, that's glorious.
And it said you can't choose the family you're born in, but you can choose those people who you call family. And it's not worded exactly like that, but that's pretty much what it says. And it's about your chosen family being the secular family. So, and we did a t-shirt campaign through Teespring and did pretty well. Matter of fact, the shirts have been printed and they're going to start shipping probably next week. So if you guys want me to do up a monstrosity t-shirt, don't bother me. I'll do it. And if anybody buys it, cool.
That might be good. That might be good.
If you only have one, I'm telling you, it will be me. I will buy it.
Well, there's a minimum order count, so you'll
there
have to.
There should be a logo to go with monstrosity.
Have to get plenty of those.
Yeah.
Can you tell him about Morgan.
I'm trying real
hard. We're getting there. We're getting there. We got stuck on monstrosity.
Do we discuss Wedding Con before Morgan or?
I think yeah, Wedding Con would be before that. So okay, so we're at
keep
like
it going.
I don't know.
Where the heck were we?
Everybody gets done running me over with a bus, and I'll continue.
Hold on. This is just like your show. What are you complaining about?
Who the hell said I was complaining? I'm waiting patiently.
Beep, beep, beep. Back on.
I'm getting married.
She has no response.
So speaking of that's a good segue there.
You want to keep getting married? You keep acting. You better straighten up.
Do you see why I can't get a goddamn story finished? Go ahead, Ashley.
No, go ahead. I didn't finish.
No, you
want to
keep interrupting? Go ahead. I'll wait.
At least there's no dead air.
This is what the show's like, everybody. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's not far off from our own. So
no, it's very close.
Go ahead.
Nah, I'll wait.
No, I'm done. I said what I need to say.
Okay, so.
For real, go.
Ashley told me that we were getting married.
That was nice of her.
Yeah.
It's pretty informative. Yeah, definitely.
Ann told me it was October 1st, 2016.
At 5 p.m.
At 5 p.m. That's specific as hell.
That's very specific.
No, that's Eastern.
Oh. Oh, you Georgia bumpkins, I love you so much.
That's where
That was good. He took that's good.
The S for monstrosity.
And he put it on.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just repurposing it. It's okay. Nothing goes to waste around here. We're like the Native Americans.
He's been saving.
The First Nations people.
Reduce, reuse, recycle, and that's what I'm all about.
He's been saving that up for months.
Must have been. Blithely continue, sir.
So, I'll try to continue. So we're getting married October 1st, 2000, this year. And we've started calling it Wedding Con 2016 because we've really reached out to the atheist community that is
family.
Yeah, our NRR family and anyone else in the community that wanted to go to the wedding and said, look, we want our secular family there. And we've gotten many, many emails from people all over the country and that said, hey, we'll be there. We're going to put our vacation around your wedding and we're coming.
Shelley Siegel's going to be there.
Shelley Siegel has already confirmed this week, as a matter of fact, with Ashley that she's going to perform at our wedding, which
awesome.
Is really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've asked Smalley to officiate it.
Excellent.
And it's going to, it means a lot to me because I could really give a shit less if my birth family's there, really and truly. I could care less. But what's most important to me is that my secular family's there because that's my family.
I felt the exact same way.
Yeah. So,
it's like, we invited them, but we didn't really give a shit if they came up.
Yeah.
So, when Smalley officiates your wedding, he's going to curse twice before Eli Bosnick does? Like, is that how.
No, we'll be actually recording because we're going to put the wedding out as a show for the people that could not attend it.
Yeah.
So it's going to have to be a non-cursing wedding.
It's going to have to be PG-13.
Yes.
So no, do you fucking take this lady? Like, that's not.
No, I'll go ahead and give you all a preview of how it's going to go. Oh. You want to? Yep. You want to? Yep. Okay, it's done.
Yeah.
Let's eat.
Are you guys going
to
have barbecue?
We're going to do the short version.
He is going to say, Bobby, do you take Ashley? And I'm like, well, hell, I figure. I reckon. And talking about the gist of him, go,
they're going to say, Ashley, do you take Bobby? I'm going to go, well, if you insist.
And she's like, going to say, yeah, I have before.
You, yes, you, good, you're married. Kiss
she's
her.
Like, well, he needs the medical insurance, I guess.
And I need him to sign that life insurance policy.
Ooh, this took a turn.
Bobby, watch out. Bobby. Careful.
I sleep with one eye open. I'm not stupid.
There you go.
You got at least until Halloween.
So,
you'll be fine.
And throughout that year, we've had some amazing shows, you know. And last week, episode 100, we asked Morgan Stringer, who is a listener. We asked her to join the show as a third or fourth. I don't know what you'd consider it. Fourth, I guess.
We have four people. There was three before her.
No, well, I'm thinking co-host.
She is fourth.
Ass.
She's the fourth host.
But we've asked her to join our show full time, and she was kind enough to do it. So we started out with just me up until episode 15. Then the Mouth of the South joined me.
Yeah, I begged and begged, and he finally let me come
around
on.
Episode 22. Around episode 22, Jeremiah came on the scene. And now episode 100, we're live every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Spreaker. And now there's four of us doing the show. And
nice.
I sit back and I listen to how the show has evolved from episode one of me by myself, nervous as you could possibly get, to episode 100. And it's amazing the trajectory that our show has taken over those 100
baby
episodes.
You can stop trying to use big words, it's okay.
You done good. That's the thing.
And we're looking forward to the next 100.
Yeah, you know? We're still reading the Bible. We have added a science segment, which Jeremiah oversees because he's our nerd cred. And, you know, he's actually done some wonderful things with it. He's brought a lot of things. He's taught me a lot of things, and he's got me asking more questions than what I did before. So, you know, we're excited. By the way, Jeremiah, you're due for a science segment. We finally had
next week. I can do next week.
We stole your science segment, and Jeremiah is going to do some on our show with Michael. So like,
well, we can't do next week, Jeremiah, because we have that pastor coming on.
Oh, okay. The week after.
Oh, wait, yeah.
Are you doing the pastor that you guys are going to debate? Is that already?
Yeah. Yes. Well, our most recent pastor was Lee, from Texas, and we are talking with a pastor next week called his name's Tommy. Tommy and I are real good friends with Jerry DeWitt, and Jerry DeWitt called me one night, said, "Hey, can I bug you for a little bit?" And I'm sorry, I don't have it in me to tell Jerry DeWitt no. He said, "I got a friend of mine that is a pastor, and he's interested in getting into the debating scene. Would you guys be interested in having him on the show to have a debate?" He said, "I know you guys will treat him right." And I was like, "Well, hell yeah, bring him on.
We're going to pop that his debate bastard. Cherry."
So
does he have any idea what he's getting into?
No. He does, because he and I have talked over the phone. I know of twice right now.
So he's not going in cold turkey. Okay.
No.
I don't feel as bad.
Because I told him, I said, if you have a problem with your views being challenged respectfully, you don't want to waste your time. Because we are going to challenge his views.
That's what debate is.
Right.
It's important.
Yeah. Point, counterpoint. You got to have differing opinions. Otherwise, it's just having a beer.
Right.
Yeah.
So I cleared the schedule completely. All 3 hours is going to be dedicated to that conversation with Tommy. And then, if everything goes as planned, do you guys know who Pastor Greg Locke is?
I only do because I listened to your 100th show.
Okay. Well, I have been talking with his secretary, and I think we about have him locked down for March 13th.
You've locked Locke down?
Yes.
So,
yeah, well, I had to point that out.
He's not heard that one before. We should use that one on the show.
Should absolutely use that one. So,
I can't wait for that show. That will be fantastic.
So what? Now this Locke person. Now he put out a call to atheists. What was that?
He did. He put out a call saying that the Bible is the infallible word of God, that it is perfect with no flaws and no contradictions.
No contradictions.
And, as the religious person in the room, that bugs shit out of me.
I was wondering what you would say about that, Michael, because I know you are the religious person on this show.
Yes, I am the token blasphemous apostate on the show. And I have a huge problem with any religious person saying that, because according to the book, man is fallible, and anything he touches is fallible.
And who wrote the book?
Which was penned by man, cannot be held as the immutable truth of God, because it has been touched by man, and therefore has been poisoned by our fallibility.
I want to send him an email just so Michael can talk to him.
Well, I have the clip here if you want to hear what he had to say.
I would love to hear this insanity. Right.
Well, Michael's going to lose his mind.
Okay.
Right. While Bobby pulls it up, I just want to say...
Well, he's got it ready.
If anything I touch is fallible, I guess I'm pretty damn fallible then, so...
mankind is not perfect. That is not a strike against us. That should be a call to action for us to constantly try to be better people.
Yeah, just be better.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he...
So much for that joke, Jeremiah. Okay, go ahead and cue that up there.
Yeah, fallible and phallus doesn't work, Jeremiah. You got it.
Not in this category. Okay.
Look, he is used to some of his stuff failing.
Wait, his phallus failed?
Oh, dear.
There was supposed to be a joke in there?
Hey, guys, Pastor Greg...
Huh?
Go ahead. Okay.
Keep going.
Right.
Play the thing.
Here we go.
Greg Locke here. I want to get right to the point with you. I want to offer you a challenge. You know, I get a lot of messages every single day from people who say the Bible is filled with contradictions. Well, I beg to differ, ladies and gentlemen, because this is the infallible, inspired, authoritative word of Almighty God. 791,328 words, and every single one of them are from God. You see, this isn't the thoughts of God, it's the very words of God. Now, there may be some things in there that we have to dig a little deeper to get a better understanding, but there are no problematic contradictions. There are no errors in the Word of God. And to prove that, here's what I want you to do. I challenge any atheist, any agnostic, any scientist, any evolutionist, any skeptic, any doubter, anybody that's willing to take the challenge seriously – You're going to see an email that's going to pop up right here. I want you to email that address, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to actually set up some sort of debate between you and I. Now, I'm not talking about texting back and forth and Facebooking back and forth. It's either going to have to be in a live format in an actual building or an auditorium, or maybe a live stream across Facebook or YouTube or something like that. Now, I'm a very busy individual, and so I don't set all of this stuff up, but I'd be willing to accept and to take the challenge. If you think you can find some errors, some contradictions, and some discrepancies in the Bible.
So I took him up on his challenge.
Hold on. Before we get into anything, he challenged atheists, agnostics, non-believers.
And evolutionists, whatever that is. Science.
Hold on. Michael, go ahead.
Well, it's really simple because, this is really getting to Christianity at its bare bones. What does Christianity mean in a nutshell? Well, if you believe in Christianity with Jesus and all that stuff, then all you need to know is Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. Teacher, what are the greatest of God's commandments? The first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your body and all your soul.
And love
your neighbor. The second is to love thy neighbor as you love thyself. These are the commandments upon which the law and the prophets are written. That is all he is saying. God is first, not he is only, but God is first. And do unto others as you would have do unto you. Be good to each other. That is all that message is believe in something greater than yourself, which that can be debated because, again, there's no proof and people have a problem with that. And that's not the part I'm debating. The clincher here is be good to other people. Treat them equally. Treat them fairly. And there are countless examples throughout the Bible of one people condemning another people.
Oh, sure.
Warfare and genocide and, the slaughter of the firstborn and, sacrificing your own children to God. All sorts of things that are just like, this is awful. This is abhorrent. Why would you do this? I mean, it's so easy based on that. Those four passages is all you need to destroy this, the infallible world of God nonsense. Also, we can take it even further because God himself says in the book, hey, everything that came before here, I was having a rough patch. I don't think the message got across. So I'm going to send my son and he's going to form a new covenant. He's going to form a new covenant and we're going to throw out everything in the old book. God himself acts as if he is fallible.
I agree. Well, see, God sent him his son Jesus, whom is his self.
He's God the same deception. Person.
Yeah,
right. Because Jesus is from what way I was raised in a Southern Baptist tradition. Jesus is God come to earth in man form.
Yes.
So yes. God,
unless he's the Holy Spirit, which is the third incarnation,
right? Christ is God.
Yes,
incarnate.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now. Right. Now, just since Bobby, you're actually going to go through with this, so he or his secretary, got back with you. So, were there any like weird terms like no. Must have only green M&Ms in the dressing room, something along those lines, anything weird?
No, because the first email actually came from him.
Okay,
just lazy, I think.
Yeah. Well, the first one came from him saying that he would gladly come on the show and have the conversation. And I sent him back an email and said, you said in your video that you want it to be civil, and I promise you it will be civil.
So you're not going to have Jeremiah on the show?
Or Morgan, because I don't know if Morgan's going to be able to control herself.
I don't think she's far enough removed from French camp to be able to be non-civil.
Because you think Ashley's a spitfire?
Just picking a fight, aren't you? Just picking a fight.
I just want her to be on the show so I can talk shit about Ole Miss. That's okay.
So Morgan, should you be out there, come on the show?
I'm just really worried because
next Friday.
Pastor Locke really offended me there. It's you and me, not you and I. No, sorry. It's you and me, not you and I.
Are you sure? I mean, you just screwed it up yourself.
Yeah,
I mean,
grammar, sir.
Man, yeah.
So,
how are you going to approach it?
I've been communicating with his secretary. So, I am going to approach it not as a debate, but as a conversation.
Probably the best.
Huh?
I said just probably the best way to go about
it. Just have a conversation, but I want to give him a platform to say what he wants to say, because more often than not, if you let them talk, they will bury themselves.
Yeah.
You know,
they always do.
Yeah. So I want to give him a platform to speak. I don't want to be rude and interrupt unless he says something really freaking stupid.
Well, didn't he bury himself in the initial challenge?
Yes. Yes, when he said 791,384 words, and it's God's word.
I just want to know which version he was using for that one.
King James.
Well, we are going to get into that because I plan on asking him which Bible.
Yeah, that's important.
Because that
thing has been rewritten so many times. It is the longest telephone game in existence.
Yeah, but not only that, Mike, I'm going to ask him, so the Protestant Bible that you're holding in your hand, is that the Bible you're speaking of? Yes. Okay. So does that mean that the Catholic Bible with the Apocrypha in it are those books not the Word of God, or are they?
That is an excellent point that I had completely forgotten. What about the Apocrypha? What about the stuff that was?
What about the Maccabees? Were they not the Word of God? Is that why they were removed? Which Bible are you talking about?
How about
and who decides what is the Word of God?
Well, how about we go a step further? The Quran is the Word of God, but with the corrections to the original Christian mistakes.
I'll go even further than that. The Bhagavad Gita is considered to be God's Word, too, because of Krishna.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the Hindu faith.
Howard, just trumped me. That's messed
up. We go to the Book of Mormon, too. I mean,
nobody goes to the Book of Mormon.
You never go full retard.
You never go full retard, Andy.
They're out there. You can find them in airports trying to tell you about it.
Yeah. So when you're talking about Holy Scripture, you've got the Gita on this end, and you have the, you know, Muslims, and you got Christians, and you got all these different religions that have their particular holy books. You got the Vedas going through Buddhism. Which one of these are the inspired Word of God? And how do you know that that's the inspired Word? And if he says, well, because of 2 Timothy, I'm going to call him out on it, because that's circular reason. That's circular reason to say that the Bible's true because the Bible says the Bible's true.
Right, right. And there's also an argument that I like to bring up, and that's which God? Because the Bible itself says, right. You know, hey, love ignore love those God. Other gods.
Yeah.
Because obviously there are other gods that you need to ignore so that you only, you know, just me. I'm the guy.
I'm the one true God of all the gods. In fact, you guys, in your most recent Bible study, atheist Bible study, you talked about a Deuteronomy verse and you mentioned circumcision of the heart. And that is within the first 100 chapters of the Quran. They also mention circumcision of the heart. And it's the same exact verse, but done earlier in the Bible than Deuteronomy is in the Christian Bible. And it's like, you guys didn't even try.
No,
you literally stole the same information and just were like, hey, we beat you to it, so we win.
Well, it all comes from the same source. I mean, you look at the major tenets of every major religion.
Sure it does.
They all say the same thing, you know, be good to each other and believe. Oh,
because the tenets are okay. The tenets are treat every well. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Some of the tenets are okay. Treat everyone decent and don't fucking kill people.
Well, the things that modern hippie Jesus has said, those are cool.
Wait, not sword
modern
mouth
hippie Jesus.
Jesus.
No, not sword mouth Jesus. Not sword mouth Jesus. No, no, no.
Oh. Oh, Jesus.
I always want to skip forward to the eyeball monsters.
It's more. No. That's the wrong Jesus. Now we're talking the hippie Jesus. You know, everything's cool. Loaves, fishes, wine. You know, let's have a party. Yeah. We're
groovy. Drink a bit of wine.
And, yeah. No. No. No.
Two bears to kill 42.
Nah.
Kids.
Ignore that.
Don't.
No.
Don't bring up bears.
No. We're not going to do that. Come on. I left you rainbows. Hey, why ever would I kill the entire population?
Hold on.
Again?
The gays stole rainbows and bears. Damn gays.
Oh yeah, they did, didn't they?
But I mean, this is all this ridiculousness. This is what I'm talking about. You know, if you look into this book, which again is fallible, and you have to try to find one message in it, that one message, the clearest, most succinct statement, and I logically conclude that Matthew 22:36-40 is like the truest nugget of truth in there, because it is a clear, concise, simple statement. It is unambiguous. Someone asked him, what are the rules? And he said, these are the rules. And there's really no room for interpretation. Believe and be good. That's it. So everything else in there that contradicts with that, anything that appears to contradict with that, all that is suspect. That can't be the word of God, because it goes against what God said the two greatest rules are. So all of that, obviously, must be the result of mankind's fallibility influencing the text.
Hence the Ten Commandments.
Exactly. Right?
Because when you think about the Ten Commandments, and you look at Buddhism, and they have what's called the Ten Precepts, and Buddhism was around hundreds, if not thousands of years before Christianity ever came on the scene. And in Buddhism, they have the Ten Precepts, which is almost identical to the Ten Commandments. No lying, no stealing, no sexual immorality. Treat your parents respectfully, you know, and it's kind of the same thing as the Ten Commandments.
So wait, did Christians steal those like they stole Christmas and all the other things, like weddings and all that?
Technically, because anyone who thinks that the Ten Commandments are original to Christianity, they're walking around with their head up their ass.
Yeah, they're delusional.
Gotcha. Okay.
Completely.
Or those that think that the Golden Rule is actually one of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Or the third, I love that one.
Wait,
that
please and thank you isn't a Ten Commandment?
No.
Which, if you look at the Golden Rule, that's ridiculous to start with. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. What if you're a masochist?
Well,
a masochist?
That's awesome.
I want a masochist t-shirt.
So,
masochists.
So like I told Pastor Lee on the show, mm-hmm. I took that and I flipped it. You can have your Golden Rule, but I flipped it and said, treat others the way they want to be treated. I'd rather have someone treat me the way I want to be treated instead of the way they want to be treated. And he just had a hard time with that. He had a hard time going, well, no, you can't do that. I'm like, no, so you're supposed to treat them the way you want to be treated.
Yeah, but no, the rule says, the actual rule, not the Golden Rule, which people think is the actual line is, love thy neighbors, you love thyself. If you love thyself, then you want to be treated the way you want to be treated. And if you have to love thy neighbor as you love thyself, then you have to treat them the way they want to be treated, exactly as you say.
Right.
If you hate yourself, though.
If you hate yourself, you're already not following the commandment because you're supposed to love thyself.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, if you hate yourself, you're getting into a more recent interpretation of it.
Yeah.
To where, you know, like, hating thyself is more now. It's not, you know, 4000 BC.
Yeah, I mean, if you hated yourself, you're supposed to, you know, be like, flag yourself or something, you know. Just, you know, self-flagellation. Just go beat yourself a bunch in the woods, you know, and just die far away from us, okay?
But to Bobby's point, if you're into self-flagellation, then you're treating others as you want to be treated yourself, you'd be flogging others.
That's why we're saying that's not right. The line.
Yeah. That's not cool.
That's why.
So Muslims
that's
are
not,
out.
That's not the
people
line.
In my spare time.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why the Golden Rule is bullshit, and he said, for when you try to point that out to them, I mean, that's, you know, that's horrible when you try to point that out.
Oh, they hate that.
But it's good when you're...
I'm not welcome in most churches I've ever been in because I ask questions like this.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's why Michael's my favorite religious person.
To my Southern Baptist pastor as I was starting to lose my faith, and I brought these to my Southern Baptist pastor, the thing he told me was that I was thinking too much, that if God wanted me to know, that he would tell me himself, that I am simply to just take it on faith and don't think so much. And I'm like, wait, seriously? That's your answer to me. Oh, now, Brother Bobby, you just thinking way too much.
And that doesn't make any sense, because if God wanted you to know the answer and you asked the question, wouldn't he give the answer to the preacher as a preordained answer?
They're supposed to be the mouthpiece of the
Almighty.
Yes,
but no.
But they're not Metatron. Let's face it.
Yes.
And I would...
But nobody's Alan Rickman. Let's.
I would say a perfect God wouldn't exist if that was the answer, because no perfect being would ask Bobby, would tell Bobby that he's thinking too much. So.
A perfect God would be like, Bobby, think more. Let's go.
If you are mortal, close thine ears.
No, that's not the line, dude.
Yeah, I know.
That's not.
I know I butchered it. I'm sorry.
You butchered it, and you should feel it. You are a bad, and you should feel that.
You have done bad.
Sit in the corner and think about what you've done.
You go to the corner, sir.
Right, so getting back on topic.
Good luck. I'm glad that there's an adult here. Adult.
Good luck with that, sir.
I am also a professional host, damn it. Getting back on topic.
I've listened to your show, professional host my ass.
So we're looking forward to having that conversation with Pastor Locke.
That should be interesting, and that's going to be on which show number?
He said in March.
March 13th is what I'm working with his secretary now to lock down, quote, you know, pun intended.
Pun intended, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Either way, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be amazing.
Yeah. Now, I know that he's doing Dogma Debate next week.
Oh, that should be fun.
Yeah,
new podcast to download
next week.
Right, so I'm looking forward to listening to David and him go back and forth, because it's going to give me an idea of what he's thinking and how he argues. Mm-hmm. So I sent Smalley a text and said, "Damn it, David, you beat me to it, but thank you."
Yeah, sounds about right.
He gets to be the first man in the war zone.
Yeah, I mean, and. But Bill Robbins, I don't know if you guys know who he is.
Yeah, I know Bill.
Bill sent him an email as well, and he hasn't heard a word back. So I don't know.
It's probably better not to be the first one to debate him, because after putting out that challenge, he's going to be so hyped up that he's just probably going to be screaming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I plan on asking him ever since you put the challenge out. How many emails have you gotten?
Yeah.
And how many have you accepted? If you are going to put that statement out on the internet, challenging every atheist, every agnostic,
welcome to the internet,
and you get 10,000 emails, you better be prepared.
Well, I imagine he probably took yours because the podcast name is just No Religion Required. You know, that's not exactly offensive.
Right.
You know,
Dogma Debate's not.
Dogma Debate's not. Barroom Atheist may be a little questionable. So he may be just cherry picking. Yeah. He's good at that.
Of course he's cherry picking.
Yeah. So, but that has pretty much been our year, man, and our 100 episodes. And we're looking forward to see where the show goes within the next 100.
Jeez, getting married, jumping networks, going live.
Yeah.
Next step is iHeart, and we'll go from there.
Next step is he's gonna marry Jeremiah next.
Will you be able to do iHeart though? Because I know that they're real strict on the whole
iHeart sent me
cursing email. Thing.
iHeart sent me an email,
mm-hmm.
and the only requirement that they need from us, that they need us to change, is for us to shorten our music to 30 seconds. If we were shorten our music to 30 seconds. We should be on iHeart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we can't go over 90 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. So it would be one of those situations to where I would have to figure out a way to have an after show.
Yeah.
Have the show continue off of Spreaker, because Spreaker is what uploads to iHeart. So off of Spreaker, but still be able to have the feed available for the people that are listening to hear that after show.
Yeah.
Without saying, hey, if you want to hear it, become a patron. You know, because I don't want them to have to become a patron to hear an extended show if we have to cut off at 90 minutes.
The podcat has shown up. So,
hello, podcat.
What?
I have a podcat.
I have a cat. Rocket. Yeah.
Cat.
Yeah, he's ow.
It's pussy.
Ow.
He's cutting black pussy.
That's my shoulder. Ow.
Black
okay.
pussy needs a trim.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he is anything but a pussy, and he does not need a trim. He's taking care of that himself.
What are you doing? Get off. He's actually a pirate. He would like to be just be on my shoulder. Yep. There he is.
He's a parrot.
Yeah.
He is a pirate.
He's a pirate parrot. Yeah, that's it.
There you go.
But a cat.
All
right. Yeah, there he is. Okay. All right. Now, as I try to fling the cat away from me. Okay. Yep. Okay. Ah, that's better. Okay. So, we actually have other things to discuss in the show. Because we're actually doing a show here, right? We're not just,
And if it's okay with you, Andy, Ashley and I are going to have to jet, buddy.
Well, you know what? I think we did good. Ashley?
Yes?
You don't just do No Religion Required. What else? Where else can our audience find you?
You can find me on Beyond the Trailer Park every Monday night at 9:30 with Heretic Woman and Beth of Havoc and Chaos, where you go live. You can find us on YouTube at Beyond the Trailer Park. We also have a fan page. We have a Facebook page called Beyond the Trailer Park, and we also have a Twitter page called Beyond the Trailer Park.
I'm noting a trend there.
Yes.
So Beyond the Trailer Park, and we'll be able to find you.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. And Bobby, are you just doing No Religion Required? You have not branched out into subsidiary podcasting.
No.
You're not moonlighting on yourself yet.
No. No Religion Required keeps me busy enough. I'm not like Jeremiah and Ashley and go out and just...
Hey, Jeremiah's more of a whore than I am.
Spread my time everywhere.
There's a drop.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not a whore?
No.
There's a drop. Okay, so mark that.
But I pretty much dedicate all of my time to trying to, you know, just run the aspect of No Religion Required, booking guests and reaching out and trying to get everything done.
You do a good job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, Jeremiah's been helping out with helping you book guests.
Yeah, he's booked two so far.
Can't you let him have anything?
No.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody finally fucking realized. Thank you.
You're welcome. I appreciate what you do, Bobby.
Okay, all of you.
I also appreciate what Jeremiah does, but mostly Bobby.
Well, you guys are wonderful. We love having you on the show, and hopefully we can get you back on before a whole year goes by. but otherwise, I'll pencil you in for next, February, January.
Get the fourth one on. She's new. She hasn't gotten her guest cherry popped yet.
Oh, I'm going to end up getting her on. If she hears how much shit I've talked about Ole Miss, she's going to come on this show.
Well, I'm going to tell her how much shit you talked about Ole Miss.
That's perfectly fine. I'm ready. I got all my stats. Michael Orr, really? A white family adopted him. Come on.
I'm just going to be like this the whole show. Just, okay, whatever.
That's what Michael Orr now.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Sports ball. Do the thing. Win the points.
Exactly. Okay. I'm ready.
All right.
They'll step back. I've got this. I can debate her all day long.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. We'll just talk like, tech or something, podcast,
No.
Technical issues, things like that. We'll just talk about that. Okay. I'll let you go. Thank you very much for being here. And, hey, if you ever want us on your show, just have Jeremiah call us.
Podcast whores unite.
Jeremiah, that's your plan.
That is your job, sir.
Oh, Jeremiah, you've got to stop doing that.
That is your job, sir.
Alrighty. We'll catch you guys next time. Thanks.
Absolutely. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys. Good night.
Have a good
great
night.
You on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, fuck. I'm so done with them.
Now that they're gone.
Do you want to talk now, Jeremiah? Do you want to explain anything about the show or?
I'm being held hostage. Can you please get me out of here? I'm stuck in a room.
Blink twice if you need us to save you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They're coming to the basement. Hold on. Okay. I'm okay.
Beautiful. Okay. All right. Let's see. So, actually, we do have some other things to discuss on the show, but you know what? I think I need something. I need water. So, let's listen to this spot.
Are you annoyed by misinformation spreading like crazy? And you want to stop the flood of nonsense coming from all directions? Go to Wikipedia, as do all those millions out there. Did you know there's an edit button on all Wikipedia articles? Why don't you go and hit that button to start making the world's largest online encyclopedia a more reliable source of information? If you're specifically interested in skeptical topics, Come and join us at Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia, an international endeavor to change the world for the better, word by word. There are many ways you can contribute. You just need to start. You speak several languages, all the more reason to join us. We provide training and all the help you need. If you want to make a change, there's a nice community waiting for you out there. Contact us at gsowteam@gmail.com, visit our website, that's gorillaskeptics.com, or check out the Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia Facebook page.
Hello, this is Gatley Snips the Goblin, and you're listening to Oh Really Radio Podcast. It's where people talk about stuff. Sometimes it even matters. You're already here, so you might as well stick around. Enjoy.
Okay, let's see here. Looks like Jeremiah is still on walkabout from our little break there, and that's fine. Let's see. We've got we got a bunch of other stories here. But you know what? Screw it. We're going to do Freeform. Because we had a giant interview, so that kind of ruins the entire flow of the show. Because that's what happens. Yay. So, lately, what have we had happen here? Oh, yeah. There was that whole New Hampshire primary thing. And everybody freaking out.
Everybody on the Democratic side freaking out.
Well, I don't think it's just everybody on the Democratic side freaking out. I think it's an awful lot of other people freaking out, too. Especially on the GOP sides, given that...
Three-way tie.
They have no answer for either Hillary or Sanders.
Oh, you mean on the GOP side. Yeah, well, the thing is, they're also... They have no control over the person that's winning.
No.
None whatsoever. And that's not how the RNC or the DNC works. Yeah, that's not how the system works. The people that are winning, the people that are getting the more popular opinion, because winning, well, we'll see about that.
Are usually well under thumb.
Yeah, they're the ones that have been already predestined to do these things. So, Jeremiah, did you pay attention to the New Hampshire primary?
Yeah, I did. I was keeping track the whole time, so that was pretty surprising. Well, not surprising. I don't want to say surprising because we kind of knew that New Hampshire was going to be one of Bernie's biggest bets. So,
well, being from that area, it only makes sense. Yes.
Well, from what I hear from one of our other sometimes contributors who lives in New Hampshire, being that Sanders is from Vermont. Apparently the demographics between Vermont and New Hampshire, they don't actually get along very well.
Huh.
They're not the same people.
Interesting.
That's the thing. They're not the same people. They have different interests, but apparently they are, it is the whole live free or die kind of aspect, that being their state motto and I guess the personal motto of most of the people there. So they don't like the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why Trump was selected. He got the most delegates on the GOP side, and Bernie got the most delegates, sort of, on the Democratic side.
Yeah. Hold on, don't sort of. Bernie got the most delegates.
Why is that? Well, yeah, I know, but there's
the
a kerfuffle.
The super delegates don't count until June.
I know, but there's a kerfuffle here.
I don't. The kerfuffle makes it seem like he lost when he won,
right?
And I want to make sure that it's clear that those delegates don't count until June, and so if Bernie continues to mop the floor with Hillary, they're going to switch.
Yeah, they did. The same thing happened to Obama during his run.
Exactly.
Now, the difference here and the thing that still gives me pause is that Obama, despite being a pretty progressive guy, was still establishment.
Yes.
The Democratic establishment –
he was actually a Democrat.
Yeah, the Democratic establishment really doesn't like the fact that Bernie is a loose cannon.
Hold on. I'll give you that Obama was actually a Democrat, but Bernie is a Democrat. Hillary is a Republican. If you look at that, Hillary leans more right than Bernie leans left.
No, I'm not talking about liberal or conservative. We already know that the scale is swung so far to the right it's ridiculous. I'm talking about whether you belong to the party.
Yeah, he is an independent.
Okay.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, and I'll give you that, but in the in the broad view of things, Hillary is more Republican than Bernie is left-leaning, crazy liberal.
That's true, but when it comes to the party and the primaries, that really doesn't matter for anything because she's establishment and he's not, and everyone likes to play favorites with old friends. So this could be, and
which is why the DNC leader is literally playing favorites with old friend.
Exactly. Well, it has never happened before that the superdelegates have gone against the, you know, the people, this could be a situation where they finally do, because he is so far outside of the establishment that they just don't like it simply because he's not an old buddy.
But look at the superdelegates, we discussed on the previous episode that they were 20% of the vote. So as long as he wins all the popular votes across the board, 20% won't affect him.
He can nullify it to where they don't matter anymore.
Right.
That is if he dominates the race, that'll happen.
We just have to get him out there.
Then they can screw us.
Right.
But, I mean, we covered this last week. And, I mean, Debbie Wasserman Schultz was in 2008, I think, Hillary Clinton's
campaign manager
for her election campaign for president. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, what did we expect out of her? Yes, she obviously is playing favorites because they go way back in the way back machine. So, yeah, Hillary's utilizing the resources at her disposal, which are formidable, and it's kind of crappy, but, you know, that's the way the system's built.
Don't sugarcoat it. It's totally crappy. The power should not be in the hands of a few people who quote-unquote control the party. The power goes to the people.
Not the way our system works right
now.
That's the way it's supposed to work.
Well, supposed to and does are two different.
Actually,
I wouldn't even say supposed to. I would say should.
In this case, we are a representative democracy.
Splitting hairs.
We're a representative democracy, therefore our one vote really doesn't count.
Yeah.
It's when a whole bunch of those votes come together that we get another single vote.
But when saying that our one vote doesn't,
the delegate system works.
Oh yeah,
Bernie can win the popular vote. He can straight up win it. No debate about it. He has the majority. He has a solid majority of the popular vote. The people support him. And if the superdelegates feel like being dicks for the first time in history, they can put the loser in the front.
Yeah. Only if it's within 20%.
Yeah,
right.
It has to be close enough, but still, 20% is a big margin.
That is a big margin.
I don't think across the country it's going to be a big margin.
I don't think so either. But the point is, they can do it. And that's bullcrap.
They can, but we're in the information age now.
We are.
Yeah.
We all know this now.
I'm not sure he has actually the popular vote.
I think right now, as a Bernie supporter, I'm not convinced.
I think right now the momentum hasn't given him the popular vote, but as he continues to win like he did in New Hampshire, I think the popular vote can swing his way.
The polls say that he has the popular opinion. More people in the country will like him. The question remains whether or not those people will get off their asses and vote.
It depends on the poll because there's a lot of polls that say no.
I think I've seen things that pair him against Trump and he beats Hillary on that aspect, but on other candidates, not so much.
He didn't beat Rubio.
The polls I trust that I've seen are from outside this country. And polls coming from nations outside this country who don't give a damn about American politics because they got their own stuff going on and we're the redheaded stepchild of the first world, they say that Bernie is in front.
Here's the deal as I see it. Name recognition is everything. So if people see a poll and they see, you know, Hillary Clinton, who everybody in the whole flipping world knows, and Bernie Sanders, who is, you know, as far as getting a national spotlight, is very new and is also very much unfavored by the press.
Oh yeah, they have to. Hillary's
getting
Bernie has
like
to fight
eight
tooth and nail
times as much press as Bernie is, but the fact that with 1/8 the amount of press, he's still able to carry these primaries. As that continues, I kind of see that switching around where his name recognition is going to explode at some
point.
I have already seen some of that.
We have seen come from behind candidates who nobody knew about go from a nobody to president. That has definitely happened before.
Oh, yeah.
Several times.
I feel like there's a strong... If he can keep carrying this momentum forward state by state and crushing Hillary,
oh, yeah.
The headline is going to be Bernie Sanders crushes Hillary in Arizona. Well, who the hell is Bernie Sanders and why is he crushing Hillary? Oh, now I know who this guy is.
Well, the fact that he's...
So when it comes to my state...
It's a lot about momentum. Well, it's really all about momentum.
The fact that there are still ballots that Bernie Sanders is not on, that they are still fighting a battle to get him on certain ballots.
Wait, where is that?
There are I just read a story. I'm going to have to find
it. They still have all the jack wagons from the Republican Party that are getting out.
But what I'm saying is that there are still... I'm going to have to find the story, but there are still ballots that Bernie's not on, that he's fighting a battle to still get on the ballot.
Yeah, yeah, and that is more telling than anything of how afraid of Bernie the establishment is. They just don't want anybody to know he exists,
but,
because they're afraid that if people know he exists, he'll win, and their pet doesn't make it into the White House.
But, and I'll go back to one of the stories that I put on the show notes, Bernie Sanders won 2,095 votes in the New Hampshire Republican primary.
Yes.
Republicans wrote him in 2,095 times.
That's hilarious.
That's really something.
How many?
That's fantastic.
Do you know out of how many ballots?
He was half of the write-in ballots, more than half of the write-in ballots.
But total
ballots. Write-in ballots are never a big fraction, but it's still telling that he got half of the write-ins.
I was going to say, more than half of the write-ins is still a big number, but you are only half. But you're still the Republican, so it doesn't matter if you're more than half. You're still more than half.
Yeah, I just wanted to put something in proportion, especially if – I don't know if New Hampshire's a state where if you're registered Republican, then you can't – you know, vote Democrat or something.
It's a semi-closed primary. So, yes, the Republicans, if they choose to vote Republican, can only vote Republican.
Yeah, if you register Republican, you can only
vote. So those Republicans chose to vote Bernie. And I will give you the real quick, Trump only garnered like 1,800 Democratic votes. So, I mean, Democrats voted 1,800 times. Well, yes, it's more than you'd like to see, but at least Bernie beat him in write-in votes for the Republicans, which is crazy considering on the Democratic side he dominated Hillary.
Yeah, well, what we're seeing is the non-establishment candidates are running away with this.
Yeah. People are – well, and you know, it's kind of funny because the GOP started this train.
That's true. That's true.
And
they
now
did.
It's working against them.
Oh, yeah.
It's running them over.
Government is bad. Rah, rah, rah. And now.
Establishment's bad. Establishment's bad.
Big government bad. Blah, blah, blah.
Government is bad. Trump. It's been attacked for ages.
And nobody wants. Nobody that is sane in this country wants to see that happen.
He is so far out there that the establishment, who has been. The anti establishment, which is just bizarre in its own right, doesn't want him in charge.
Now, do any of you know anyone that actually wants Trump?
Yes.
I do.
Okay. Have you asked them why?
No.
I have.
And what kind of answers did you get?
I got that...
Did they need to be Baker-acted at the end?
Well, no. I got essentially the same reason that people would want Bernie on the generic level, in that he's not bought and paid for. So the fact that Trump can run on his own deal without super PACs and those type of things... That's why the people that I know would vote for Trump are voting for Trump. So really, what I'm saying is, I don't know any crazy racists.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So it's predominantly that they don't trust all the other people.
Right.
But that's
me specifically. I don't know about David or anybody else.
So maybe it's less an endorsement of Trump and more an indictment of everyone else.
Right.
Okay. If that's the way you're going to go, you can go for the person who is a decent human being.
True, but if you're Republican, you don't know what a decent human being is.
Oh.
It's true.
Oh.
Shots fired.
Shots fired, indeed.
It's absolutely true. I had this very argument with my uncle today on Facebook. He was going on about conservative policies, and I'm just telling him, you know, This is the consequences of your policies. You know, lives are on the line here. This is morally repugnant. And he gets mad at me because I'm making moral judgments on him. I'm like, you're not immune to moral judgments. This is not a theoretical scenario. These laws and policies make a difference in people's lives.
I think, yeah. Michael, you and I need to be friends on Facebook so I can argue with your uncle and you can argue with my brother's wife.
Nice. All right. Now, Bella in the chat room is saying that Montana is currently fighting to get Sanders on the ballot, or more like Sanders is fighting to get on the ballot in Montana. Yeah.
Bella, if you can do me a favor, find all the states, because there's more than just Montana. If I'm not mistaken, there were like 13 states.
Jeez.
13 of them that Sanders was not on the ballot.
That's... How is that?
And I just
how is that even possible at this stage?
I just read this story like 2 days ago.
God, that
yeah. Well, I mean, they're trying everything.
It's like O'Malley dropped out. He was the only other one that Hillary could.
O'Malley
like,
dropped
talk
out
to.
And still won 2% of the vote in New Hampshire.
I noticed that. That really just says that I'd say about 2% of the people have no idea who's actually running, and they're not paying any attention at all.
Yeah,
when they saw the other names, and I'll go with that guy.
So the reason why I didn't ask why they support Trump is because I had posted a picture a little while ago on February 5th. Why do so many Americans think that healthcare for all and free college are impossible pipe dreams when that is the reality all over Europe? If they can do it, why can't we? And the response from Trump lover, we'll say Trump lover 2016, not true. And taxes are super high in some countries. Oh, and stop wanting free everything. Try earning your way in this world. So tired of lazy idiots and this entitlement mentality. I can't afford insurance because of all the free handouts. Go live in Europe if you think it's better. Oh, wait, we're the only country with no borders and an open door integration problem. Yet another reason why this country struggles. But then again, I have common sense and understand economics. But carry on with your made-up crap.
That common sense argument, I hear all the time. And yeah. I don't think people understand what common sense actually is.
It's obvious that they don't understand what it is.
No, they've got Kool-Aid.
All I know is that if you accuse your opponent of not understanding economics, then you automatically win. So they got that nailed down.
That right. does seem to be the rule, doesn't it?
Economics and common sense, because again, people don't understand what common sense actually fucking is.
Yeah, common sense is basically the knowledge of the majority. And the majority of first world nations look at us and say, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Yeah.
That's uh-huh. exact. We are a laughingstock in the developed world because we do all these stupid things that destabilize our economy, that you know, put people in poverty, that just damage our nation.
I think that other nations are more afraid of us not because of our bombs and our military capability, but because of how stupid we are, and simply because we control most of the world's economy, whether they like it or not.
We set the bar for that situation. Yeah, and I will point out the Willy Wonka meme that you see on mm-hmm. internet all the time. Oh, you're going to leave the country because a democratic socialist might be president? Tell me what country you're going to move to that doesn't have socialized medicine and yeah. health care and all the college. God damn it. Which
it's
one are
all,
you going to do?
It's all over there. Yeah.
You okay there?
Every country, every country that any of these people would realistically move to.
There's always Somalia.
Oh, no. No.
So I can get Zika?
Okay.
I'm talking about countries that they use as examples. Canada and Britain
Denmark.
There's one reason. One reason I would move to Somalia. To be a pirate.
Right.
That'd be awesome.
To be a legit pirate.
Still a legit thing over there.
That's a profession. That's the only reason to go. And it's not a good reason either.
No,
because the only person you take over is Tom Hanks.
No, I would totally do
just
the...
Listen. Okay. I'm the captain now.
Oh yeah. All right.
Sorry, Andy, you lost the battle.
I guess so.
Go ahead, David.
I didn't even know.
But yeah, no, that continuous run-on sentence of, you know, just insanity. It's just insanity. And it's like, yeah, no, I don't want to know why you support Trump. But let me tell you why you're wrong.
They don't have any examples.
I think
they
is it just anger? Are they just angry? And they have nothing else to do?
I think what the average Trump supporter really latches onto is his rage. And, you know, they understand that there's somebody who sounds enraged about the problems in this world. And they're not so much paying attention to the message as they are honing in on the, yeah, I feel that too, man. I feel that too. I want something done about these things, and I don't care if I'm right or wrong about any of them.
And I can agree with that because the numbers from the New Hampshire primary show 1,800 write-in Democratic votes for Trump. So yeah. It's not just on the one side. There are people on the Democratic side saying, I can agree with what he's saying.
Well, and I'd say
that scares me.
Well, you look at it, you know, on either side of the fence, there's always going to be people who feel somehow bamboozled. And you look at a lot of the young voters today that, you know, it was very telling in the debate between the the town hall debate between Sanders and Clinton.
Yeah, not the last one, but the one before that.
Yeah, the one before that.
Because there was one on Thursday.
There was a young voter, and he asked her, you know, I hear all this negative stuff. Why am I supposed to trust you? And sure, there's plenty of negative things about Hillary Clinton, but I also believe there's a lot of positive things about Hillary Clinton as well. And I do think that, on the whole, she's the better candidate than anything the GOP has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
But with 30 years of continuous smear from the right-wing smear and fear machine, it's taking hold on a lot of young voters who, you know, they're looking at it and like, man, it's just so terrible over here on the left side. Maybe I'll just go right if that's what I got to do.
So you think the continuous petty hate machine that is Fox News is finally having that effect?
A certain amount of time.
I disagree.
Like,
I think
a background radiation.
If you repeat a lie long enough, it becomes true. Is a bunch of bull crap. I think
it's bull crap for people who double check things.
No, it's just not how people operate, because people want to be independent. That's a basic fact of our psychology, and we want to make decisions for ourselves. I think the problem that people have on either side is that we're tired of the establishment telling us that you have to do it our way or the highway. No, we don't want to do it your way. We want to do what's right. We want to do what we believe in. And that's why they're going to these candidates like Sanders and like Trump. And again, as much as it bothers me that people are writing in Trump, I get it, because he's not establishment. He's not Democratic establishment. He's not even Republican establishment. We have no idea what he'll do.
Do you think it's like a knee-jerk reaction where this is the only thing, the only way that they feel that they can do anything about it and still live up to the values that they think they have as a Republican?
No, I honestly think because of the way the media covers all this, and because of the way that the establishment is trying their damnedest to stifle the non-establishment candidates, that there's honestly not enough information out there for people to make a decision. They don't really – you can't really tell what either of these candidates are going to do, because they say one thing and the establishment says another, and both of them claim that their word is what's actually going to happen when they're in office.
Yeah.
You know, when Fox News is not trying to discredit Trump, we hear them supporting him. We hear them saying, you know, if he does get in office, we don't want him in office, but if he does get in office, your lives are going to get better.
Yeah.
So there's no way to make sense of it all. And there's a similar thing in the opposite direction going on in the Democratic camp. You know, Hillary is the Messiah who's going to solve all your problems, and this Bernie guy's not going to do anything for you. It's all nonsensical, and mm-hmm. it's hard to follow, because they're making it as hard to follow as possible. So
I get a little different vibe from it, but just because of how hate-filled and racist and bigoted that the Trump message is.
Yeah.
I put his followers and people that write him in the same boat as those who went to Jonestown. I think that they look for the quote-unquote strong leader to lead them, and he appears to be the loudest bird in the room.
Hmm. Well, there's a bunch of I lost my train of thought.
I think
in the Jonestown thing, there were a lot of people there that were forced to drink the Kool-Aid.
They all went over willingly. They all followed this man willingly.
Not
to this place.
No, I don't think that's the case at all.
That's the thing. Not all. They certainly were not allowed to leave.
They're thinking they were headed to utopia, and they got there, and it was not.
And plenty of them, once they realized what was really going on, wanted to leave and weren't allowed.
Yeah,
right. But wanting to leave after you get there is not the same thing as wanting to go there in the first place, which they did.
They bought the bum bill of goods.
They bought the building, then they showed up to see what was inside of it.
Yeah, but you're allowed to change your mind. That is a thing that we are allowed to do as people.
Well,
and there are, and
you would think.
Because well, because especially when you make an informed – and when you know your information changes, you make a newly informed decision. People can't really make an informed decision when there's so much goddamn propaganda all over the place. It is
so they
really
go to default.
Hard. It is really hard to make an informed decision. How much work do we have to do to dig up the – you know. True and reasonable news stories, and how many times have we had to correct ourselves because we got fooled? As hard as we look for the truth,
mm-hmm.
right?
It can be very difficult to find, you know, the grain of truth in the giant stories.
And
I think that's where it all boils down to: is that this election, more than any other election in the history of elections, boils down to the millennial vote, those individuals that are willing to dig in and do the research and find out what is true and what is not, what is bullshit and what is real, and what is going to be presented as truth and what is just a flat-out lie.
Speaking of flat-out lies, I'm working here to bring a video in, and you're probably not going to like this. I'm just going to say that right now. Conservative pastor preaches that women should be banned from voting and confined to their homes. Okay, check this guy out. Oh, why am I not? Oh, that's right.
Why is it not going?
The reason it is not going is because I had to mute this the whole damn thing. Because
are you Indian now?
No. The reason it is not going is see, it's God. Because of that.
Oh dear.
It's because of that. I'm not even sure where that's coming from anymore.
That's the stream.
That is the stream, but I'm not sure where the stream is originating from. There
womp,
it is.
Womp.
There it is. No, I just have I have too many windows open, as is typical. So there we go. Okay, let's try this asshat again. Here we go.
It says that they should be keepers at home. They should be good. And then he says they should be obedient to their own husbands. Now, how often do you hear that preached today? Well, if you come to Faithful Word, you hear it all the time. But if you know, if you go somewhere else, you don't hear it so much. But that's what the Bible says. You know, you say, well, that's old, that old-fashioned idea. Today we have women's rights. We've come a long way, baby. And today, you know, oh, those horrible, horrible days when women had no right. Let's bring them back. Let's get back to those days. What are you so worried about? What do you think they mean when they say women's rights? You know what they mean? The right to divorce your husband is what they mean. You know what they mean? The right to rebel and disobey your husband. The right to divorce him. The right to go out and get a job and make your own money. The right to tell him what to do. The right to go vote for our leaders as if women should have any say in how our country is run. When the Bible says that I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man but to be in silence. I am quoting the Bible right now. But it's old-fashioned. Why do you think that women were not allowed to vote until the 20th century? And yet if I get up and say, I don't believe women should vote, because if we're in a democracy which is ruled by the people, I don't want to be ruled over by women. And when the founder of our nation, John Adams, one of the key founders, one of the authors of the type of government that we have in the Constitution and the bicameral legislature and all of it, the one who laid that out, his wife told him, hey, you need to put something in there that women should be allowed to vote. And he said, you know what? He said, I'm not going from the tyranny of England to the tyranny of women ruling over me. He said, I'd rather have England rule over me.
The tyranny of women ruling over me.
Because that's the same thing.
I don't know what he imagines in relationships where, you know, my fiance is a feminist. And we have a partnership where we are equal partners in this thing.
That sounds like a good thing to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, what you know, fiance is not
to her
a feminist?
When I want to do something, and she comes to me when she wants to do something, and we work out our priorities and what we can afford to do, and we figure out a way to get there. And nobody rules over anybody because I don't need to slap my peen around like that.
Prophet, what do you have to say about this one?
I don't know. I think he made his point for him. I might agree with him. You know, he made some salient points there.
He was so concise.
Says the guy who's going to be spending Valentine's Day alone.
No, I'll be spending it with No Religion Required.
I'm sorry. You're right. I apologize.
I don't know if that's any better, but, you know.
You get to spend it with Morgan. That's the same thing.
Well, you know, Morgan's pretty hot, but she also is taken. So there you go.
Well, there you go. Okay. So, as in the chat room, the ladies in the chat room, were not pleased with that.
Well, I mean, this is
shocking.
You know, this is just more conservative policy in a nutshell. Because, and let's be real, conservative policy is religious policy. There is no getting around that.
No, there's no difference.
That's another thing that my uncle tried to argue with me, that religion has no place in this, and I just, you know, you can't say that because it's not true in the modern Republican Party.
Have you listened?
These are the values they espouse, and it's selfish.
It's every other word is because God told me.
Yeah,
you know, how many candidates are running because God told them that they had to run?
All it boils down to is selfishness. I want it my way, and I don't want anyone else to threaten that. It's selfish. That's all their policies are. They want theirs, and they don't care if you get yours. They don't care about what the Founding Fathers actually talked about, how all men are created equal, that we all have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because if they get theirs, they don't give a crap about anyone else. That is at the root of all of this, and nowhere is it more clear than with this dickbag.
What we have here is his name is Stephen Anderson, and he is the pastor at the Faithful Word Baptist Church in Arizona. So, I'm sorry if you happen
Arizona,
to be there.
So
he is in Arizona.
Like,
what you saying about Arizona? You had a problem with Arizona?
Yes, no, I have a problem with Arizona.
Yeah,
it's a dry heat.
Arizona.
It's a dry heat.
Hellscape.
Well, I think everybody has that issue where they take it, like, when they say...
It's the model for Fallout, right?
Well, no, they take it where they're like, oh, men, and they're not realizing that what they meant was human... And
human.
Not just men, as in the singular, we have a dick.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what they actually meant about that. Okay, so we had the Republican in Florida that wanted to ban abortion in order to save white culture. That was a fun one. And,
yeah, that's fun. That's what I think of when I think of fun.
That's fun. Putting the fun in dysfunctional. That's what we do here in Florida.
I just want to come up with the wooniest reason to justify something and testify before Congress.
It might work. Just, you know, plead the fifth. The fifth?
Yeah, no, that's after they call me to committee.
Oh, yeah, that's right. To the committee, yeah. Oh, God.
You need a reason to get there, and then you can plead the fifth.
That's right.
So we have an article, Wikipedia might be building a search engine? Where did this come from? I did not put this in the show notes.
That's not me. I didn't do that one.
I put this in the show.
Well, you talk about it then.
I will.
Democratization here at work.
Yes. Wikipedia has obtained a grant for about $250,000, and they're just exploring the possibility of building a search engine. And what they want to do is build a search engine, not necessarily to compete with Google, but along the same lines as Google, in which they will... you know, have a trustworthy source of knowledge. So if you search something on Google, it will come back to you and you may get trustworthy knowledge or you may get something somebody made up on a blog. You know, it's totally up to interpretation, whereas Wikipedia, like we discuss in that, you know, in the blurb we have, we want to make Wikipedia as trustworthy as possible, and they want a search engine that is trustworthy as possible. So you go to Wikipedia, you can find the articles, or if you don't trust those articles, search and find trustworthy information. So they're kind of searching into that. They don't want to compete with Google. They just want to have a similar product. And I think this is fantastic.
Wikipedia is so good at the cross-linking in their articles anyway, that anytime I go there, I end up falling into the Wikipedia hole.
Yeah, it's...
hours of my life are gone.
Start link chasing and you're lost.
Yeah, so them
and,
having...
And then you might as well start playing How Many Degrees to Hitler.
The main purpose of this story is the fact that originally they said that they were, you know, the possibility of the foundation of doing a Google for Wikipedia was a total lie. Now they're more like, hey, we're looking into this. We want to see what we can do, not to compete, but just to offer a better option or another option that's not Bing, because fuck Bing.
Because I mean, Google has some problems with people buying their way into the top searches, somewhat.
Right.
But you know, but it also does. They also aggregate based on traffic. You know, popular things come up first, whereas Bing is just whoever pays for it gets it.
Right. Which and if you're going to ask me, you have the option between Google, Wikipedia, and Bing. I'll take Google and Wikipedia before I ever take Bing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Google's just a better search.
The only thing Bing is good for is the fact that they occasionally, if you sign up for the rewards program, will give you like $5 Amazon gift cards.
Yeah, they pay you to use them. Yeah, what does that really say about them?
If you search with them, they'll give you money.
Yeah, they're paying you to use their product. They don't have very much confidence in their product, do they?
No. So again, I'll stick with Google and Wikipedia when the Wikipedia opens up.
Yep. And we have Congress skeptical of increased Saudi commitment to ISIS fight in Syria. Wow, really? You know, that just that headline alone is just like, duh.
Well, again, this is something that I put on there.
It's important to point out.
And it's split between Republicans and Democrats. Mm-hmm. But essentially, Iran said that they were willing to commit more ground troops to fight the Islamic State, and they were willing to put more special operations into Syria to combat ISIS. And both Republicans and Democrats were like, we'll see.
No, Iran,
I don't know if I believe that.
Wait, about Iran or about Saudi Arabia? Because this is about Saudi Arabia, and you said Iran.
I'm sorry, yes, I did say Iran. Yeah, it's Saudi Arabia that's willing to commit more ground troops and more special operations forces into Syria to combat ISIS. Not Iran, Saudi Arabia.
Okay situation.
But either way, both sides of the government are like, really?
You sure about that? You sure you're going to go do that? Because it kind of sounds like you might be reinforcing them. Just going out on a limb. Just maybe.
I'm pretty sure we can't believe a word you say.
Even though Saudi Arabia's commitment is potentially pivotal in securing the help of other nations,
yeah.
But recent congressional testimony from top intelligence officials shed some uncertainty on how strategically important the Saudi forces would be to fight the ISIS fight. What?
Wait, what?
We need you guys to help us bring more in, but we're going to question whether or not you're going to help us bring more in.
Well, that's interesting.
Do we ever want to get rid of ISIS?
I do not assess that the Saudi ground forces would have the capacity to take this fight on, Marine Lieutenant General Vincent Stewart, Director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, told Armed Services Committee senators on Tuesday. I think the idea is, how do you get more U.S. skin in the game?
We don't need more U.S. skin in the game.
The only way the Saudi security forces are going to develop the skills and the strength to deal with such situations is when they start taking a more active role in them, like now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, maybe they suck right now, but we can run them beside other more competent forces until they get good enough to handle it.
If the internet can teach me how to app online, we can teach Saudi how to war without sending our troops over there.
Wait, you're not proposing training the Saudi troops with YouTube, are you?
Whatever works.
I don't know that that's a good idea.
If only because they don't know YouTube.com. Let's send them the link.
That's only because ISIS it's been blocked at the it's only been blocked at the firewall for Saudi Arabia anyway. They're not allowed to look at it, yeah. You know, or Wikipedia. I think also said Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Richard Burr, Republican, North Carolina. They're not going to do something unless we're going to do it, but they will pull their weight if what we decide the coalition should do. I think that they said was a diplomatic way of saying, when you get a strategy, we'll participate. So, your move, U.S.
Your move.
Yeah. Meh. I'm just enormously skeptical of Saudi Arabia in general.
Which I understand, but they're taking steps. The whole nuclear deal, the whole they're ramping up production of gas. I mean, they're taking the steps to try and get out of that. Hey, let's be skeptical of Saudi.
They're taking steps, but I don't know that where they're stepping to is better. You know, where they're headed may not be a good place for the rest of the world to be.
Okay.
Yes, yes, they are taking action. But
is it good action?
But maybe it's a bad action. You know, yeah. because with their raising their production of oil, they've destabilized the oil market.
But they've destabilized an oil market that we had a hand in, and Russia
right.
had a hand in, and
they
China
did it.
Had a hand in. They're like the fourth comer to
they,
this destabilizing.
No. They're the first comer because they are OPEC. They are the chief nation in OPEC. So
yeah.
they have always controlled global oil prices. They specifically
by refusing to play ball, they actively yeah. made a decision that led to the collapse of the market.
Well, they did it specifically to hurt the U.S. economy.
Yeah.
Because they did it to drive the price of oil per barrel down below $80, because that was the profitable point
for
fracking in the Northeast.
But if that's the case, I'm applauding Saudi Arabia for trying to take out fracking, because I'd rather not have it.
It's a great thing, but they were not being yeah. magnanimous about it. They're yeah. doing it to try to hurt us.
But I understand, and I understand that. But if you're trying to do something that ends up being a benefit to us, I'm going to applaud you all day.
Okay, no, that's an awful lot like punching somebody in the face and knocking out the tooth that had the cavity.
Yeah, it's not.
It's like, really? Is that really what you should have done? I mean, it's not nice. Yeah, it helped them, but it's not nice.
But it wasn't nice.
And
at
suddenly,
all.
I'm Christopher yeah. Walken. I don't know why.
It's
you,
not nice.
But you know,
you can't do that.
You adopt accents like Saudi Arabia adopts political policy.
Well, I was talking
whatever,
to Putin.
Never gets the FIFA at the time.
And I said that we need more cowbell. Anyway, okay. I don't know why I did that. Very sorry. No, I'm not. You should
no,
be sorry.
More Cowan.
Don't fucking lie.
Yes, that's
you're
right. More
sorry.
Cowan. More Cowan. That's the only thing. Okay. How about some science, bitches?
Science, bitches.
That first one is not mine.
That first one is mine. I stole it from Michael because I wasn't sure if he was going to be on.
No. Guest's honor, Jeremiah.
Oh, what?
What the heck is it that you actually are doing? Because you're like into the sciences and doing the science and the stuff.
Yeah, I do the science and the stuff. I'm actually a grad student at University of Colorado Boulder. I'm not a representative. I'll just throw that disclaimer out on the show. But yeah, that's what I do regularly. And I actually work with DNA on surfaces, so that's fun. If you listen to Miss Ashley, and if you ask Miss Ashley, what I do is try and blow shit up. But if you're a chemical engineer, that's one of the things you try not to do.
Unless that's the intention of your chemical.
Well, DNA on surfaces sounds like that story Miss Ashley tells about the towel.
Yeah. So if you don't know about the towel story, you should listen to, I think, episode 100. But
it's amusing. Yeah. But what is it that you do? So as a grad student, what are you working towards? You have a special pet project?
Yeah, so right now I'm working on looking at single molecules of DNA on surfaces. And what that entails is these DNA are tagged with little dyes that light up under a laser. So when you look at them under a microscope, if you look up single molecule on YouTube, you can find certain videos that people have put up, and what you're looking at is actually a molecule. You won't see the structure, but you'll see the molecule. And what I do is I actually look at how they dance around on the surface, how they search, and I actually have other DNA strands on the surface. And if you know anything about DNA, it's sticky, so it sticks together.
Yeah.
And so I actually watch them stick together and unstick together and see how they behave together. So
that
just
so
on the
cool.
on the single molecule level. So that's super fun. Unfortunately, it's also super hard, but that's called grad school. So that's mm-hmm. why they pay me the small bucks.
I was going to say, and this is the point in the show where Michael and Jeremiah just talk to each other and nobody else has any idea what's going on.
No, I'm not going to. It's been a long time since I was into genetics. And yes, the DNA molecule is fascinating. But, there's so many other things going on in science. I mean, I don't know what your project is about. but I haven't seen any big waves in the places that I aggregate my stories from about, you know, new things with the DNA molecule. But if you guys make a breakthrough, by all means,
well,
bring it to my attention because I want to know.
Well, I mean, recently, I mean, I'm actually not a bio guy at all. This is sort of more of a physics project. But as far as advances in the recent years, there's been CRISPR technology, which is, you know, super, super revolutionary.
Oh, yeah. We talk about putting CRISPR. Things through the CRISPR all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, but I, you know, general science geek. I love, you know, once we talk about the gravitational waves, I'll geek out just as much as the rest of you too.
Yes.
Well, we certainly can get into that. But what is it that you're okay? So you're working on. What's the point of the task that you're working on? It's like okay, so you're looking at the sticky DNA. Why are you looking at the sticky DNA?
The behavior of the DNA molecule.
Yeah, so it's actually, you know, take off your application hat off for a second. There actually are applications. But we know generally how molecules behave in solution. They kind of dance around. It's called Brownian motion. And we can actually predict how they mix and how they behave, which can lead to useful things such as reactions and other treatments, like, you know, treating a metal. But we don't know as much about how they move around when you have a two-dimensional interface. Instead of three dimensions, you've got two dimensions. And now you can put the application hat back on. Once you know how that works, there are lots of sensors, like biosensors, that you actually put your sample into, and there's an interface there. So it's really helpful to see how it behaves on the interface. And if you know how it behaves on the interface, then you can design it a little better. You can use a better surface. You can make it go faster. You can make it stick longer, something like that. And that'll help you with a better biosensor.
So it's for biometric analysis.
It could be. Yes.
I can see a lot of applications for this, knowing how it behaves in this space. You know, for biometric sensors, but also just for, you know, doing chemistry. If you can predict how the molecule is going to act, you can make reactions happen better.
Right.
And on the nanoscale, another cool thing about DNA is it's very selective. So when you're making one cool thing about nanoscience is making nanostructures, but it's very hard to make arbitrary shaped. It's kind of easy to make a sphere in solution. It's kind of easy to make a tube. It's sort of easy to make a sheet, but those are very simple shapes. If you want to make anything more complex for a specific application, something like a peptide, which is what proteins are made of, or DNA, those can form. And you can engineer them to go into certain shapes better, which you know, are maybe useful at the interface.
I don't think that's maybe useful at all. I think that means we can develop, you know, if we can develop a synthetic compound, even if it's partially synthetic, that has the exact same shape as some other protein, well, we can just fill in portions of our metabolic pathways with something that we built.
Yeah. The only difference is peptides are far more stable in solution than DNA nucleotides.
So
it's much better to get a protein. But there are certain things that DNA does better than proteins.
So right now, I mean, putting my application hat on, I was thinking about, you know, how we've been like 3D printing organs and ears and things like that. But what we have to do is we have to denature a donor organ as a lattice that then we would coat with the DNA structure to then regrow. So if we were able to manipulate the structure that the DNA is going to take, then we would be able to do away with a lot of that restructuring and maybe do it in place as opposed to a petri dish.
Yeah, and if I could put on a hypothetical.
We love hypotheticals.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So classic, forget about DNA for a second, just 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make a porous system, there are lots of ways you make a porous, lots of reasons you would want to make one. A classic way to do it is to get a cylindrical micelle, which is made out of fatty lipids, cylindrical micelle, and put it on a surface, and then crystallized silicon all around them, and then you have a porous material. Cylinders are pretty simple shapes. Maybe in the future, if you were able to make another arbitrary shape with DNA and crystallize something like silicon around that, then you could have much more complex shapes and in the future different functions than just a hole that may be useful in the future based on that template. In fact, if you really want to get your mind blown, look up DNA origami, which
that just sounds awesome.
Yeah.
No, it's fairly early, and whether or not it will be useful remains to be seen in the future, but you can make some pretty cool stuff with it, and you can make arbitrary shapes with DNA. I don't know if I can explain it very clearly on the radio, but basically you can design a million strands of DNA to what you call self-assemble together and stick together in a way that makes basically any shape you want at the nanoscale, like maybe only 100 nanometers in length. So that's freaking cool. Look up DNA origami.
Yeah, so when I destroy my liver with Kraken, I can have a new liver in the shape of the Millennium Falcon, and no one can argue that I'm the best Star Wars fan ever.
Yeah, the only difference is the DNA will denature in probably a week or so.
I don't need anybody to know the real science. Originally, it will be shaped like a Millennium Falcon.
No. You're supposed to say, "Never tell me the odds." That's what you're supposed to say,
Seth.
Yeah,
you did it wrong there, buddy.
And I quit.
Wow, that's fascinating. That's absolutely fascinating stuff. I love it.
I wish it worked, though, so...
Well,
hey, if you keep up on your whole inverse science thing, maybe you'll get it to work.
I'll just go to some physicists and call it a supersymmetry problem, and we'll see how that goes over their heads. Yeah.
It's awesome. Put it on somebody else. That's the way to do it.
Have you measured the quantum consciousness yet of the problem?
Okay. No more Deepak. No Deepak.
All right. So hey, let's talk about. Let's see. We've got. NASA wants you to become a telenaut and who explores Mars with virtual reality.
And I'll hit on this one real quick because I'm 3 for 3 on putting stories up that we talk about. Basically,
that's good. We're talking about everything else. So go.
I mean, really, it's just real quick. Basically, what NASA wants to do is by the time we send the first person to Mars to be exploring, they want to be able to incorporate virtual reality with the Microsoft HoloLens to be able to send people sitting on their couch to Mars with that astronaut to explore Mars, because they understand that the easiest way to explore the entire surface of Mars is to send schlubs like me who are like, hey, I'll totally check that out and explore every nook and cranny while I'm sitting on my couch. So, I mean, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for other ways. Right now, NASA scientists can explore Mars via virtual reality, but they want to expand that.
Could we call this couch sourcing?
Why not?
I think it would be couch sourcing. I think that works.
Couch sourcing.
Yeah, I like that.
Virtual astronaut.
You know, I think I'm qualified for that.
I'd rather go in person, but if I can't, I'll do the next best thing.
Exactly. Everybody has the opportunity. And think about it. If you give a bunch of gaming nerds the opportunity to fully explore Mars, there's nothing that we won't find.
It'll be done in like a week.
Exactly.
I mean, the entire planet will be mapped.
How fast do you run through gameplay on, like, you know, 128-hour gameplay games?
We're going to need some more rovers. That's all I can think of.
But then they're going to try and see how you can clip the rover through to, like, jump out of bounds.
So. Oh, yeah.
But that's after we've explored it. Once we start doing the funky shit, that's cool.
Yeah, once the map is filled in, that's when you do the weird stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't wait for the speed run.
I think the speed run around Mars.
I think it'd be great if they figured out how to clip through the map. I mean, that would be a great deal of expansion space.
If they give me a Mario Kart Mars, I'm totally sold.
Ooh, I think we now have the future of what Nintendo should do.
Yeah, blue turtle shell, I destroy everybody, I win, you suck.
Because poor Nintendo, you know, they're always looking for the next thing that still keeps them in the same universe.
Yeah. Fuck Rainbow Road.
Yeah, no.
Rainbow Road is the worst.
Yeah, you got to go drive the pyramid on Mars. That's what you got to do.
Whatever works.
Exactly. Okay, so then we have the end of science as we know it.
Yes, this was an interesting article that came across about a guy who, and his theory is actually a few years old, but it's making the rounds again. He was talking about the idea that the pure research fields are coming to an end, essentially because we're reaching the limits of human knowledge. The idea that, you know, he poses the question, what if we get to things we can't explain? You know, there are things we can't explain right now, like how the Higgs field works, and that's what CERN was for, mm-hmm. and the Large Hadron Collider, and we don't understand how the mechanics of dark energy and things like this. And he's like, you know, and his question is, you know, what happens to science as a whole when we run into questions that science just can't answer?
Doesn't
you know,
that open up?
It works, and this is how we observe it works, but we don't know the mechanism why.
But doesn't that open opportunity?
I thought it did.
But see, his whole idea is that if science, when science starts running into things that we just can't, that we cannot answer other than to say this is just how it works and we know it works this way because we observe it, but we don't know the mechanism, that it's going to cause some sort of destruction of pure research because, well, the whole point of science is to answer questions. If you can't answer questions, you can't fulfill your purpose. It's an interesting thought experiment, and I wanted to bring it up because it does raise some questions about, you know, these things that we simply cannot explain. We've been aware of for so long, and there has been literally no progress on how they work. I also wanted to point out that I think he's full of crap because it's just an incredibly pessimistic view. I mean, for centuries we didn't know how diseases work, mm-hmm. and we know now. You know, just because we don't have the capability to understand something does not mean that we will never find the capability to understand something. Yes, the dark energy problem in particular, that's a big problem because it works and it works everywhere, and it's obviously doing something, but the mechanism of that action is impossible. I think that the problem with his theory, and the reason I wanted to bring it up, is that whenever it goes back to the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. Whatever you study, you also change. The fact that we can see an interaction means we can eventually understand what's causing that interaction. There is nothing. You know, they call it dark energy because it doesn't leave a footprint on most of our instruments, but it leaves a footprint somewhere. We know it does because we just don't have the
instrumentation to see it.
We see the consequences of its action. So obviously, at some point, it is possible for us to observe that mechanism in action. And
we just saw gravity.
Yeah, we just saw gravitational waves, something which is the exact next thing we're going to talk about, and no one thought that was possible.
Let's transition to that.
Yeah. Well, real quick before we transition to that, mm-hmm. I think that what this guy is saying is trying to push the envelope too far too fast. And what Michael said in that is that it took us centuries to come to grips with certain science, and he's wanting to go to the next level of science way too fast. We don't expand like that. You know, as we're learning things, it could take centuries to learn this new level, but he's like, hey, we haven't gotten there, so we're never going to get there.
Yeah, and it's stupid. Technological advance is an inherently iterative process. One level builds onto the next, and we know it's not a perfect curve because we haven't reached the singularity yet. You know, you can't predict how fast technological advance is going to move.
Exactly. Until another Einstein is born, maybe we should slow down and let the scientists that are working on it come up with the actual answers that are leading to the answer that you want, but aren't like, hey, we figured it out by skipping all this shit. Like, no, we need to build up slowly to that next answer until the next Einstein or, you know, the next, you know, individual that basically has all of the brain power that we don't comes out and is like,
the next Einstein, the next Newton, the next Tesla, whatever.
Yeah, that comes out and is like, hey, I had a dream last night and this is how it all works.
So let's test it and see if it's actually how it works.
Exactly.
Well, look, it is.
We're actually getting there, and what I think it is actually happening is there's no more rock star scientists that are kind of coming to the fore because there are so many genius IQs figuring this stuff out and building amazing things now.
Working all together in tandem.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because of the way science has become the institution that it is, being a scientist is not out there. You know, Because most of these, breakthrough scientists like Isaac Newton and Galileo and all of these people, their ideas were fucking out there for the time, and that's not a thing in today's scientific world. People have a crazy theory like string theory, and they're just, okay, let's entertain that idea and test it.
Yeah, it's we're far more accepting of new ideas, and that's kind of why, you know, we're excited about people detecting gravity. But the people at large are like, oh, yeah, we've known that gravity's a thing.
Well, that's just because they don't understand that we haven't nailed it down. We know it's a thing, but we don't totally understand how it works.
But it's also the other part of this is there's no rail against it.
Yeah.
Hmm. You know,
there still the round, but it's not nearly as bad as it used to be.
The round Earth theory is like that landed people in jail, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's like, yeah, well, duh.
I think at the scales we're talking about, though, like I think the frontiers we're really running into a problem is what we've brought up is string theory and the reconciliation of quantum gravity with the rest of the standard model and. You know, we've been looking at what, like, the Large Hadron Collider can tell us, and it may just happen that the Higgs boson is the last thing we'll be able to determine with that project, which would be sad. But what that tells us is that our progress is going to slow down because you need an even bigger monster than the Large Hadron Collider.
You just need a better machine. But that is the story of science. We need a bigger tool. That's how it's always been, that's why I think this viewpoint is so remarkably short-sighted.
I do always love that we need the largest tools that we've ever made to find the smallest things possible.
Yeah.
But if
it's such a wonderful dichotomy.
But if
there's actually a push towards smaller colliders to try to do the same thing in a smaller size.
Well, yeah, because the you know,
it all depends on how much energy you can pump in.
Are a concern, but there hasn't been. You need that space to generate the energy you need. But as we get new and better power sources and new and better superconductors and all that stuff, we can get the same oomph for a smaller buck.
But we're going in both ways, because where there is the push for smaller hadron colliders, there's also, we just discussed it in a couple episodes ago, where in China they have the bigger hadron collider than what the Higgs boson is working on.
Yeah, they're
so we're going in both ways. It's like we're not restricted by a science level, and it's like, okay, this is where we're at. This is all we can do. No, this is where we're at. We can go smaller or we can go larger and see where things work out.
Yeah, there's no point in not following those rabbit trails. You know, let's see what we get. You know, follow the theory, you know, turned into a practical application.
And I mean, yeah, we're reaching the limits of what we can do with the Large Hadron Collider, but that's only just one very specific branch of science. There's all kinds of stuff that's going on that's still accelerating.
There's tons of stuff that we don't understand in other fields.
We don't understand how EM drive works, but it works. And, you know, as we figure this thing out and actually tune into how to make it more efficient, we're going to start realizing things about how that tool can be utilized itself to tell us about the universe, and it's going to illuminate all kinds of things.
And as long as we still throw quantum on the front of anything, we're good for, like, hey, we don't understand it yet, give us some time.
We're good for a long time, because quantum mechanics is the worst.
Worst. It's like, okay, look, if anybody tells you that they understand how quantum mechanics works, I can guarantee you they do not know how quantum mechanics works.
I've taken a quantum mechanics class, and I can confirm that.
Yeah. It's like, no, you don't. It's more like an elective.
Yeah. As long as we throw that word on the front, we're covered.
Some of my brain power towards quantum mechanics, and oh lordy, Lou, just God, what have you done?
It's a hell of a drug. Wait, I mean,
God,
yeah.
Why have you forsaken us?
I'm not even going to argue with you, Andy. Crack and quantum, same thing.
So, that's a hell of a drug. Okay. Let's wrap up the show with gravity waves, because that's pretty huge. But I do want to mention that finally Thursday, the last of the Y'all-Qaeda finally left the reservation up in Burns, Oregon.
So that's all done.
Peacefully to authorities.
Peacefully. However, there were some notices that they might have left some presents
but,
in the forms of booby traps.
But there, at least there were notices because peacefully they left and peacefully they said, hey, we left some booby traps.
By the way, we might have done some really horrible things.
Because of course they did.
Yeah, that's
and that's you know what? All those booby traps, if they can if they can't figure out who left them, I figure they should just indict them all for creating you know, IEDs basically. Because handling explosives is pretty much criminal unless you're
super really illegal. Like, yeah.
Lovely.
There are some there are explosives that you can buy over on store shelves. There are binary explosive that you have to actually fire a projectile into in order to make them go off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fairly cheap, but you still can't make like bombs designed to kill humans with them.
Right.
I think you're infringing on my unlimited bombing rights.
Oh, right
now. I think I don't give a damn about your bombing rights.
You know, I didn't see that in the well-armed militia portion of the Second Amendment.
Listen, listen, up in Colorado, you're way too close to Oregon to be talking about your unfringed bombing rights.
I've gone down some rabbit holes, man. And, like, I'll tell you, over there in right-wing militia man land, they are upset that they cannot purchase hand grenades and rocket launchers and Apache helicopters. These are things that they legitimately believe they should have access to as U.S. regular G.I. Joe
citizens. Well, sovereign citizens.
Yeah.
Well, in all fairness, outside of the rocket launchers and the grenades, I wouldn't mind an Apache helicopter. I watched Airwolf as a child. I
well, that's yeah, dude, okay. Well, that's Airwolf.
Take that helicopter up, and you will crash.
Well, it's Airwolf.
Well,
you know,
don't get into the fact that I can barely drive a car. That's not fair.
Totally, totally unfair. Unfounded accusation, sir. Okay. Speaking of the kind of twisted side of well, everyone in the country, a Democrat in Kentucky has decided to put forth a clever kind of bill. I just wanted to mention this before we get into gravity. And it's Kentucky men who want Viagra would have to get a note from their wife.
You know how the Bible says that women rule men.
Yeah, and they would only be allowed to have it if they were married.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a Kentucky House Bill 396 being put forth by Representative Mary Lou Marizan, Louisville Democrat. It's I want to protect these men from themselves, she said.
Something tells me that the whole reproductive rights issue is not going to be supported.
It's about family values, she said.
Yeah. Something tells me that the Republicans aren't going to jump all over this.
No. No, because this affects men.
Do we really want a bunch of legislators interfering in private personal medical decisions? She said.
How about
yes, we do.
How about this bill requires a man to make a sworn statement with his hand on a Bible that he will only use a prescription for a drug for erectile dysfunction when having sexual relations with his current spouse? This is the best thing
it's,
to troll Republicans
it's
that has
amazing.
Ever happened.
It's,
it is pretty great.
It's pretty amazing. So, yeah, there's that. That exists in the world, and that's
her,
fun.
Her file photo in the story, which I'm sure isn't like a recent photo.
No, it looks like something from the 80s.
Is the smile of someone who is like, I'm about to troll Republicans like a
so
fucking
hard.
Boss.
Like a boss. It's true. She is true.
It's so good. It's so good. We'll see. We'll see how that works. But you know, that's yet one more of those names that we may see come up in the field, you know, in future years. So.
I'm just making sure the government is taking care of your safety. She
that's,
said.
That's right. It's just for you. She's trolling them so hard.
That's amazing.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I love how the article was, you know, phrased in the form of. All you had to do, I mean, she should write for The Onion.
I mean, really, because all she has to do is just change the D to an R, and it's serious. That's all Andy. She has to do.
Well, audio glitch is apparently bad.
I'm not surprised.
She has to change the D to an R and change all of the women references to men references, and then it's the same.
Yep.
Actually, I'm not sure what is going on there. Well, okay. Well, there's the chat.
It's probably no religion requires fault. We have equipment issues.
You know, actually, you're right, because it started to happen as soon as they left.
Yeah.
I do not know what's going on, so... I'm sorry, guys, in the chat room there, if the stream is, this is a grand experiment here. Okay. So if it's not working so hot, well, we will be all of this is being recorded and it's not going to be horrible and you'll be able to download that after the fact. So I hope that, that's okay for you, but we're going to wrap it up here. Let's talk about gravity waves.
All right. Now, this is a theory that goes all the way back to Einstein, and it is kind of difficult to wrap your head around, because, you know, it's not something that's really well understood because gravity is not understood. It is the weakest of the four fundamental forces, and yet it has the widest reaching effect. But the idea is that according to relativity, which says that, you know, time changes based on the speed you're moving, And also has to do with gravity bending space-time as a result. The more massive an object is, the larger the effect. We know that. When massive objects move, they create ripples in space, like something moving through water. Mm-hmm. They create oscillations in the fabric of space itself, and this has finally been observed when we watched two black holes collide and merge.
That's radio silence, everybody.
It's also like brain explosions. It's like, yeah. Okay.
But your brain should be exploding, because this is a huge game changer in terms of astronomy, because what we've had to put up with for now is basically basically optical telescopes, different types of infrared to X-ray telescope power to observe the universe. And this confirmation not only verifies Einstein's original general relativity theory, but it means we can probe the universe with all kinds of other different mechanisms. It's a huge game changer. If you're talking about science slowing down, this is a decent argument against that.
Yeah, so. this is a thing that my first idea, and granted I don't understand the science super well, certainly not as well as the professionals, but it is my understanding that the gravitational connection between two objects with mass is kind of an entanglement situation. It works instantaneously regardless of distance. I mean, yes, over large distances, it is an extremely small effect, but gravity never goes away. It doesn't matter how far something is away from another object, gravity is causing the two to interact with each other effectively instantaneously. So if we can now observe gravitational waves, can we map the universe in real time? Because all we see when we look up at the night sky is the past, because everything works at the speed of light. So, but gravity works essentially instantaneously, as far as I understand. Can we map the universe in real time?
No, gravity. What you'll find in this study is that the gravity waves actually go at the speed of light.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we detected the past of dual black hole event.
Right. Because they say in the study that they merged 1.3 billion years ago, but you get into the whole situation where you guys who understand science at a better understanding, like, here's the deal. People who don't understand science, the most scary thing that's going on is a supernova of the sun, and the merging of two black holes, which is a black hole, is probably the only thing scarier to people who don't understand science than a supernova of the sun. The merging of two black holes is 50 times the power of all the stars in the visible universe. Like, that's the scariest thing possible for people that don't understand science when they read the story.
Oh, no, it's terrifying. Even as someone who understands science and understands the limitations of black holes, it's still terrifying to know that one can eat the other and basically acquire its mass.
Right,
that
because the energy ends up being the waves equivalent to the annihilation of the mass of three suns.
But okay, so I'm learning something new about how gravity works, which is fascinating. That's fascinating in and of itself.
It's a confirmation of general relativity.
Yeah, that's fascinating in and of itself because general relativity, well, it might have worked, it might not. We never knew until we could look at it.
Which, by the way, was something that he theorized in like the 1930s/40s.
Yeah, without any way to even observe black holes, you know, much less make this discovery. But my thing is that, you know, again, we don't really understand how gravity works. It's if there's any kind of particulate involved, it's not so much a classic particle like we're used to. It's more like a connector. And will this lead to an increase of understanding of how that works, allowing us to basically trace gravitational connections and see the strings, if you will, pulling the universe, which who knows what that'll show us. You know, this is exciting. This is super exciting.
Well, finding out that gravity moves at the speed of light kind of debunks the entire movie of Gravity. So I mean, there's that. It's too early to tell but it is definitely a starting point. And it's something where it's like, you know, could we produce, you know, anti-gravity, or will we simply shed our meat bodies in favor of cybernetic organism life and go to the stars as that and have absolutely no issues with, you know, having to be hungry or grow food? We just run off electricity.
I am prepared for my upgrade.
Here's an even greater thing. I just had this because I'm remembering Civilization, the Test of Time, which Civilization is really good about doing their research, their historical research, and whenever they do the sci-fi ones, they're great at theoretical science. Here's an idea. We know we have tidal generators that harness the power of the waves to generate electricity. What happens if we can harness the power of gravitational waves, which are even more omnipresent, to generate power?
Or thrust.
Right?
So like a gravity tidal generator.
Yes.
Oh, that's neat.
Because this doesn't have to be – I mean, right now we've just started to detect this thing from some huge event really far off. But remember, gravitational tidal forces are happening in our solar system all the time. The sun isn't the center of our universe. The sun actually orbits the gravitational center of our solar system. The gravitational
Which is a black
center,
hole, typically.
That's of the universe.
That's of the galaxy. Yeah. I'm talking about just our solar system.
Yeah.
The sun is technically orbiting a point that is not its axis.
Yeah.
It spins on its axis, and then it's orbiting a point it's still within the sun's mass, but it's orbiting.
So what's
it
orbiting?
Tidal forces.
Well, no, it's orbiting in an axis that is gravitationally appropriate for all of the mass in the solar system.
Yeah, it's like the thing. It's like
it's sloshing back and forth because of the planet.
Right. The same thing with Earth and Moon. You know, our actual rotation is somewhere in between, you know.
It's somewhere slightly off center. But it's the most visible example of this is when you say Pluto orbiting Charon. Pluto and Charon spin around a point that is between the two of them. You know, but it's the same principle here. There's gravitational oscillations and therefore waves being generated all throughout everywhere.
Well, as far as the application of this study, a lot of it's going to have to do with investigating the rest of the universe and cosmology, not necessarily energy. And in fact, I would suspect, as from an engineering standpoint, that any energy from the black hole, even though they're black holes, they're so far away that energy is going to be dissipated to almost negligible amounts.
Oh no, we're talking about this is just a far future theory. Right, what it does right now is more like understanding how a greater understanding of how the universe was formed, which is fascinating in and of itself.
I would say even more what it does right now is verify all the times in the past that we have said, hey, gravitational waves exist and couldn't prove it. This isn't the first time we've tried to prove this, and we just haven't been able to verify that it's accurate.
We didn't have a big enough instrument.
Yeah.
Or, well,
now we have two, and they're building a third one so we can triangulate exactly where gravitational waves that they're detecting are coming from.
Right, I mean, the triangulation.
Even in the story, they say, we want to use the gravitational wave observation to learn about our universe for decades and centuries to come. Like, yep. We're going to be dead when they've got this totally nailed down.
Right.
No, we're not. Medical science is going to...
You are really stuck on that cybernetic immortality, aren't you?
We got to get off this rock as robots.
It's going to be cybernetic and bionic.
The singularity.
We're very close to the point now where they're just going to grow you in new stem cell limbs.
Yeah, we're all talking about transhumanism here, basically.
Look, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. If my stem cell limbs make me look like the Rock, I'm totally cool with that.
I'm sure they could, as long as Jeremiah gets his project done.
We're going to have to dispense with the idea that gender matters because, hey, we can put your brain in anything.
Hey,
you have one job, Jeremiah.
You know what you have to do.
I'll also look like Ronda Rousey. I'm fine with that. One of the two, just keep me living for centuries. I want to know how this ends up.
Yeah,
I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
The only limiting factor currently is going to be if your family is in any way prone to debilitating brain ailments. Which they're starting to work out, you know, like the Alzheimer's and the plaques that accumulate on the brain that cause degradation over time. So, the next 30 years is going to be pretty exciting for medical science. And, I keep harping on it, but I'm telling you, if it's not us, it's going to be the generation after us that has the option to not die.
Which I'm fine with that. If it's not me, I'm fine. My kids cannot die.
Yeah, that's
fine. If they're so inclined.
Right, yeah. Right.
Just that the pace that they're going with medical science, you know, we're starting, in the next 5 years, we're going to have lab-grown meat that is available in your grocery store.
Meat.
And, I mean, for all intents and purposes, that is just, you know, one step over from growing organs.
Well, we are already growing meat.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, we're kind of already doing the organ thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're doing both. They're getting it worked out. Meat is going to be widely available at a price point which is affordable.
I was going to say, meat is going to be available before the organs are widely available.
Well, yeah, once we
grow my organs every night, so.
Yeah. Very nice, very
nice. Well, every 7 years you got new ones.
Yeah,
every roughly.
Every 7 years you got a whole new body. Yeah.
Listen, that University of Colorado Boulder stuff, we don't take that into account down here in Florida.
If it's not alligators or driving in through, like...
You know, we have this magical substance I can send you. it's called Celestial Seasons Tea.
Ah, yes.
Nice.
Celestial Seasons.
Actually, I have two boxes of it over here.
Of course you do.
Yeah, the freedoms have not come to Minnesota yet.
Well, you do. How about that?
Hey, as soon as Bernie gets elected, the freedoms will be everywhere.
We'll see about it. I don't think it's not going to be as soon as he gets elected. It's going to take a little bit.
Shortly thereafter, Bernie gets elected, the freedoms will be everywhere.
I mean, technically, it's available now because Obama really has not been pushing the enforcement of, you know, marijuana laws.
Yeah, try and tell that to the cops when they arrest you. Hey, Obama isn't against this. What's going on?
Obama.
That's still state level.
White, okay, it's always been legal for us. Come on.
True.
Yeah.
True story, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you're, what is it, one-fifth as likely to get pulled over by a cop even though you're 30% more likely to have illicit drugs than...
Hotboxing your car and they will look the other way.
Yeah, even if they pull you over, be like, hey, a black guy must have done this. I'm so sorry.
I'm just
a victim. There was a black guy in my car 5 minutes ago.
He bailed out. You know how they do.
Wow. Sadly, I bet that would work in some places.
Probably would.
And that's Alabama. Just such an indictment of things.
Yeah, I'll have to ask Morgan about that.
Oh, yeah, there you go. There you go. Okay. Well, I think that we're done. There is plenty more that we could talk about with gravity waves and science and just all of it. It's an amazing time to be alive. We got some really amazing stuff going on, and constantly, just more and more stuff. It is definitely not the end of science, as that article tried to tried to originally proclaim.
Dude, yeah, there was a guy, who was it? It was like a century ago. He was the head of the patent office, and he's like, everything that can be invented has been invented.
I would like to buzz his head with a quadcopter.
Right?
I'll send him a
sorcery?
I'll send him a letter back in time to let it know how it goes.
There you go. Nice. Yeah. Well, send it Western Union. That's the only way to make sure it gets there.
Where did this letter come from? It says that I am wrong, and I don't understand.
Even if none of that was true, I would purposely invent a poo-flinging machine just to aim at him and be like, hey, I totally invented this after your statement.
I don't know if that's a better thing.
It doesn't have to be better. He just said everything that's been invented has been invented.
Wow.
Everything that can be invented.
Yeah.
Fred, you were the only one that came up with a review that you put in the show notes. Therefore, you're the only one that gets to do the review this week. Go ahead.
Awesome. I totally did this just to build off of David's. I got a new phone. It's the LG V10. They've been advertising it with
T-Mobile?
Yeah, I got it through T-Mobile, but they've been advertising it with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And basically, it's a new phone through LG. It's got everything you could want. Fantastic on the video, dual front-facing cameras, both at 5 megapixels, rear-facing camera at 16 megapixel, the fingerprint feature on the back. So just like David's phone, the buttons on the back, you can push it. It gives you the fingerprint so you can access your phone. I would show you, but my phone hates my fingerprint. I think my fingers are broken. So it doesn't show it as easily as David did with his.
It's because you had to burn all your fingerprints off that one time.
Very true.
I understand, yeah.
With my Men in Black situation. But most importantly, and I would gear this towards Andy, 4 gigabytes of RAM.
Yeah, I kind of want that.
So, it runs all of the things you want to run without running into the problem of, hey, we can't do all of these things.
Yep.
And it comes stock with 64 gigabytes of data. And when they eventually make it, you can upgrade it with another 2 terabytes on the SD card.
Oh, Jesus.
All of the data you could possibly put on this phone, you can put on this phone.
I believe that I'm drooling a little bit.
Andy, calm down now. It's not polite to orgasm in public.
I want the phone.
It is. If you're going to pay for it outright, it was $600 through T-Mobile. But
I can wait.
Obviously, T-Mobile does the month-to-month deal. It's about $25 a month, which isn't terrible if you're adding it to their $80 monthly unlimited plan. You're still at $100, which is comparable with other cellular service. It's a fantastic phone. I love everything about it. Met the military rating for drop test, so if you happen to drop it because you're clumsy, it's not going to break on you the first time. Maybe the second time, but not the first.
That is a big phone. How long have you had it?
I have had this phone for about a week.
How's it on battery? Because that's always the thing. Big phone, big quad HD screen. And
two things about battery. One, I've never run it out of battery. It comes with the USB fast charging cable. Okay. So when you hook it up, it doesn't take very long to charge it up, but I've never run it out of battery, and I'm constantly using it. The second thing is, it's not one of those batteries that you can't buy a spare and replace it. It does have a battery that you can pull out, have your spares, pop in and newly charge. They even have charging stations where you can charge up your spares.
Is it a Tesla? What is this?
It's not like your normal T-Mobile phones where once your battery is in, that's it. That's what you're running. I can pull this all off and show you the battery inside. Let me find I haven't pulled it apart yet, but okay.
Do the stuff.
There's the battery. I'm showing it on screen. It comes out. It's not solid to the thing.
So it's got an expandable transflash up to 2 gig?
Yes. And here's the battery out of the machine. I can plug it back in. So if you have multiple batteries, which I'm sure you can buy, and your battery charger, so you can keep them charged, You never have to be technically out of
this. This is the look of, I really want that.
That's the look of Andy being jealous about technology, and Andy is never jealous about technology.
Well, so, no, that's not true. That's not true.
Okay, for the most part, Andy is not jealous about technology.
I am guilty of having a grand techno lust. It's okay. I understand this about myself, and I embrace
it. If you're looking to add more to your cavalcade of hardware, I've got someone who's selling a good machine for a decent price.
Maybe. speaking of things, I actually picked up the headset that you recommended, Michael.
Yes.
And I realized something about my phone. My phone has a bad Bluetooth stack in it and constantly drops the whole thing.
Oh.
Like, powers off the Bluetooth and resets it.
Sad face.
Constantly.
You should probably get an LG V10.
Well, that's why it's like, ooh, that's a nice phone. My phone, not nice no more. Me want phone. But I.
What headset did he recommend?
It was the Samsung U.
Yeah, the
Samsung Level U.
Level U. Yeah, it's very nice. I like the way it feels.
Oh, that was the audio one, the dual ears.
Yes.
Yeah.
So far, it's quite nice. I'm just going to have to use it with like a tablet that has a good Bluetooth stack on it, just not my phone. So I'm going to be moving all my podcasts over to my Nexus 7 while it's still running. And I did also upgrade my RAID, so now I have 42 terabytes on site.
You freak.
Yeah, that's why when I say that you can add up to 2 terabytes to the phone, he loses his mind. Because
it's anytime, like, it matters. That matters to me.
Anytime you say terabyte, and he's like, what? I can have that?
Terabytes. For now, I can put a terabyte in my phone. Hello?
The other thing about this phone with the display... different than normal phones, 2 layers of glass, so if you happen to drop it and it lands directly on the phone, less chance you're going to crack it.
Okay. So that's the LG V10, and that sounds pretty awesome. Sounds really awesome. Kind of want that. Jeremiah, how can we find you elsewhere?
You can listen to the show Sundays live on Spreaker at 7. I won't give all the plugs, but you can follow me on Twitter at NRRProfit. At NRR Profit. And I don't like Twitter that much because I don't think in terms of 140 characters or less, but you're welcome.
You know, they just upgraded it to 10,000 characters.
Just now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm going to put a diatribe on there right now.
You sure can. Yeah. So
I will
a little
see that.
Treatise on Voltaire, probably.
Oh, there you
that's
go.
What
yeah.
I'm thinking.
I will see that because I follow you on Twitter, so we're good.
There you go. Yeah. And, of course, I imagine we can also find you out on the Facebook land where apparently the rest of the population lives. So
yeah, I hate Facebook more and more, but at least it has let me in the past rant unfettered. So there you go.
As podcasters are intended to do. Yes,
I certainly rant all the time on there.
It's a thing. Yeah, you got to do it.
It's a thing.
You got to do it. Okay, and... that's it for us tonight. We'll be back next Friday about 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. In the meantime, the conversations should continue on the web. Head over to orellyradio.com. That's O-R-L-Y-R-A-D-I-O. For all the links, right at the top of the page. And do watch us live like this in this amazing setting, which apparently is still glitchy as hell with all the audio. But that's okay, because we will also have it archived on YouTube. And let's see. Where else? Oh, yeah. We got the IRC, so you can chat there. That's still glitchy, too. I'm working on all this. It's all free, so enjoy. But, you know, if you don't want it to be free, if you want us to actually make some money on it, then, you know, there's a donate button on the webpage. You can follow that. Give us a little tip here. And, of course, we also do have a Patreon page, and you can follow the Patreon link on the webpage that'll also get you over there to patreon.com/Cowen, C-O-W-E-N. If that's too rich for you, totally understand. How about you contribute to the show with topic ideas, corrections, advertising offers, unclaimed lottery tickets, hate mail, and unsolicited advice by emailing them over to us at orellyradiopodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 470-222-6759. Well, I love y'all. You're all wonderful people. And I'll see you next time. This has been a Really Radio, part of the Cowen Services Network. Music for the show was created by Kevin McLeod of Comtech.com. Later, everybody. Bye-bye.
Send emails. Get a poster. We've got 2, Kate and Kristen. Let's go. Send them in. We got them.
Absolutely.
Thanks, everybody. And it's in the can.
You didn't say the thing.
Oh, the broadcast has been successfully terminated?
It's in the can.
There it is.
There you go.